much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
106.7 K-Rock, K-R-O-Q. And it's the Rodney and the Rock Show, as always, on Monday morning. Hey, I got a morning show. What can I say? Is that drive time?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Ugh, look, there's Brody Jenner. God, what a douchebag. I can't believe that came out of Bruce Jenner's vagina.
Bruce Jenner is a man.
No, Brian. That's what the press would have you believe, but he's not. Bruce Jenner is a woman. An elegant, beautiful Dutch woman.
No way.
Way.
I know that every one of us have done things wrong. That's why Jesus came.
Anyway, keep your head up, fool.
And now, I take it you're the asshat.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean show.
Ladies and gentlemen,
how dare you?
Look, we just stepped in.
How dare you all?
He's alive. What about my theory?
Your theory is always death. Immediately.
But I was convinced this time, though. I really thought I had it.
Are you upset because you were right? You wanted to be right and you wanted me to be dead?
No, I'm delighted to be
alive. Oh, I see.
Alive, but I was just
through.
I was convinced, I don't know if you heard, but I was convinced that your wife was just continuing to cash your checks because she didn't want to alert authorities to cut off the money faucet. She was going to pretend that you were sick, so we were going to get all these cryptic messages every few days. Oh, no, he's getting a little better. Oh, I thought he was coming in, but he's not. And then she stretched that out for as long as she could until eventually, you know, they'd have to bury her or something.
People on Twitter kept saying, Bean is telling everybody you're dead. I was like, yeah, well, that sounds like Bean.
That sounded like a reasonable theory, though, didn't it, Allie? I had you believe in it for a minute.
I had then gone so far as to Melissa was getting drops of you talking. Like, she was recording the show for weeks and weeks.
Okay.
And then if somebody were to call, she would just play sound drops of your voice. And
nice.
We'd be like, oh, Kevin is alive. Because none of it made sense.
You don't think that you would call and there would just be the sounds of a party going on?
That's
smarter.
True.
Come on.
That's quicker. Yeah,
so,
sorry.
So how bad was it?
Dude, I don't know. That's my answer. I don't have any idea.
What do you mean?
I mean, it was just, it was a week of straight hell. A lot of different things happened to me.
Yeah.
I kept going to the doctor.
How did you come in on last Monday and seem fine?
Okay, here's what happened. Last month, the weekend before last Monday, I may have overdone it a little bit. So then last Monday when I came in, I thought, oh, I feel bad, but I'm just going to push through because I'm the one that went out and did too much.
Yeah.
So keep your mouth shut.
Plus, you knew, get through Monday's show.
Right.
Go home, sleep, get your strength back. You'll be fine.
Boom, be fine. That was my whole plan. So I went home. I went to bed, felt good to go to bed, I'm not going to lie, on Monday. And then last Monday night, I woke up and I was shaking like I was the only one in San Andreas. I was the only person in. I couldn't stop shaking.
Oh my gosh. What was, like high fever, 101, 102?
Yeah, it was about 101 and I couldn't get warm, even though I had the heat on and all the covers. And I finally went into my wife and I was like, I don't know what's going on. So she said, you should go to the hospital. I am just the opposite. I'm always like, give it an hour. I don't want to go to the hospital because the hospital, I mean, the ER does mean 3 to 5 hours.
At least, yeah.
At least. So I was like, give me some time. So I kind of slept that off and then that sort of left, but I kept the headache and then each day was just a new terror.
Yeah.
Each day. I was throwing up one day.
Jesus.
And I don't know. And I would go to the doctor. And here's what I figured about doctors. And I've had this theory for a long time. This just kind of solidifies it. They really don't know. I mean, they can rule out the worst stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like they checked me for pneumonia because he wanted to see if I had pneumonia.
Sure.
Wasn't that. So what is it? Could be any number of 1,000 things. They don't know.
I watched a lot of Hannibal this weekend. I started
at
season 1.
Show?
Maybe you have encephalitis.
I don't know what that is.
It's what he had in his brain, like nothing was working. So did you kill anyone?
Well, that sounds what?
Did
that
you kill
like
anyone
me.
And you're not aware of it?
I don't.
Like, did anyone say, hey, Kevin, remember you killed that guy on Tuesday? And you're like, I don't remember.
No, I didn't get told that.
Okay.
That would be a bad surprise to
me. Did you eat someone else's brains?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. So all right, then it's not that.
I don't know. Honestly, I just had and for me, every single day is, all right, this sucks.
Yeah.
So what am I supposed to do next? Okay, Wednesday. Well, I'll just go to work Wednesday then. That'll be fine. I'm just going to make up my mind and do it because I'm tired of this. And then Wednesday, bad, you know, fever the whole week. So I was like, Thursday, good. Friday, good. Nope, can't do any of it.
There's
Friday
a picture.
Night, canceled. Saturday night, I was supposed to go to the Galaxy game. Glad I didn't go to that. Yes, there was a picture.
There was a picture that you posted on Instagram that Bean just reposted.
Mm-hmm.
That was Photoshopped, right?
That was not.
What? What is that?
I can't. I'll have to explain that later because we don't have time now. But that was after, let's see, Friday night after I got back from the emergency room.
Oh, so you did eventually go to the emergency room.
That
wow.
was the after photo.
Oh.
It was worse before.
Cool.
Yeah, not cool.
No.
I mean, not cool. No. Not at all cool. So I sent a picture of that to my daughter. She's like, you have to post that. That's funny. I was like, yeah, you're right. That is pretty funny. Look at my lips.
The allergic reaction, I guess we'll talk about it later.
Yeah.
Right. Because that's another thing entirely from whatever you were sick
Completely
with.
Separate,
that's
I think.
That's probably a reaction to the medicine that you were taking for the other thing.
Maybe, yeah.
Or something.
Your butt implants look great, though.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for noticing that. I appreciate it.
Or my second theory was that you were still in Las Vegas this whole time.
Oh, I wish.
Like you just came back from Monday's show. They went right back to the crap tables or whatever you
That
doing.
Would have been so much better.
So he's just a,
I was know, at the crap tables, but.
Not the crap tables. Right. Completely different.
Wasn't the same.
All right. Well, we're glad you're alive. You think you'll, I guess it's impossible for you to know how you'll do this week.
Well, but. I haven't had a temperature since Veep.
Sunday night?
Last night, like at 7:15. How good was that? Or 7:30 or whatever. That was a good show. Let's talk about today's Kevin Abicho, shall we?
You are ruthless, hateful. I don't know what to say about you, but I just pray to God that they catch you.
Comedian Greg Fitzsimmons will join us today.
Yeah.
Very excited about that. Thanks for that tweet. Bean is back.
How dare you?
Yeah. How dare you? You always say, how dare us? Do we make them up in this feature?
I mean,
do we make them up? Do we change them at all?
Technically, you read them, but you put them in an unflattering context.
Ah, which is life. Matt Money Smith will be here in studio talking about sports, talking about the NBA Finals and Stanley Cup Finals. I don't know what else we're doing. What else are we doing today? Oh, I'll update you about my fabulous ER trip.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. What else? Brian Williams has a new album. I'm not aware of this.
Well, Brian Wilson does.
That guy.
Yeah.
Right. Brian Williams would be even better, wouldn't it?
It would.
So that's coming up this morning as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the showbiz beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:53.
Kevin, this is Ralph Garman. He's a young man that comes in about once an hour to tell us what's going on in the world of showbiz.
I like that guy. He yells at people a lot.
I haven't had Veep since Veep. Let me tell you something, ass. You realize it's science that most people with a bad infection are still contagious up to two days
I'm not contagious
after,
at all.
After their fever dips below 99. You're aware of that, right?
Kevin said he's not contagious, Ralph.
Thank you, Bean.
He would know. He's a doctor.
I'm going to get whatever freakish thing you have because you're like, oh, I've not Veep temperature. Ass. Just stay at home. Stay away from us.
I did that for a long time.
You're diseased.
I did that for like a month.
Well, that's not my problem.
I was annoyed.
Take your disastrous body somewhere else.
It's only Ebola or something.
God damn it. You're saying funny boy on the island because you're living in a bubble. You're not here in the death zone.
The cesspool. Doesn't look like such a bad choice now, does it? How was your weekend, Ralph?
Oh, spectacular.
How was the Babylon?
Ah, magical. It really was. Great, great group of people on Friday night out there at the Improv on Melrose, so thanks to everybody who came out. You were cool. Very cool. You know, we had a former Double December show up and say hi.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Which one?
Danielle from 2010. Oh, yeah. She was there with her fiancé, and it was lovely to see her. And one of our contestants from another Miss Double December pageant was also there separately. It was weird.
Nice.
It was booby. It was a booby night.
All right.
That Danielle was pretty.
Yeah, she is a lovely girl, too. Very nice. It's good to see her again. All right, let's talk about, as we do each and every Monday morning, the top 10 movies at the box office. Spy was number one. The Melissa McCarthy comedy took first place this weekend with $30 million.
Kevin, is this the longest you've ever gone in your life without seeing a movie?
It is, and I wanted to see that one.
I was going to take all my aides right to the theater, but they had to keep me in the oxygen tent because Veep temperature was still high.
See Veep last night?
Yes, I saw Veep last night. It was hilarious. San Andreas was $26.4 million. Was number two. Insidious, Chapter 3, in its debut, made $23 million. Good enough to make that number three at the box office. Entourage was fourth. Debuted at just $10.4 million.
I think people said no to Entourage, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't have promoted that movie anymore, and that's for sure. Those guys worked real hard to get the word out.
But I can't imagine it was an expensive film to make.
No.
So
it's true.
I'm sure they'll do fine. Mad Max Fury Road was fifth. Then Pitch Perfect 2, Tomorrowland, Avengers Age of Ultron, Aloha, and Poltergeist rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Speaking of Mad Max, Warner Brothers says that it's just broke the $300 million mark at the box office. Congratulations. It may get still a little bit more. It has yet to be released in Japan. It doesn't come out there for another 2 weeks, so I'm sure they will do very well because action movies translate overseas exceptionally well. Caitlyn Jenner may have a new gig. She may be the judge of the Miss USA pageant that's coming up. They have offered her a seat on the panel of judges. No word yet whether she will accept or not, but it makes sense because the Miss USA pageant is the only major beauty pageant that accepts transgender contestants. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah.
And didn't she take her name from a Miss USA contestant?
I am not.
I don't know that either.
I'm not sure about the derivation of her name.
I believe she saw a contestant named Caitlyn, and she said, "I think that's a beautiful name."
Hmm. All right.
There you go.
Sure.
Good thing she wasn't watching the Belmont Stakes. She could have been Pharaoh Jenner. How about that American Pharaoh, huh?
How about that American Pharaoh?
Triple crown, bitches.
Now, Kevin, I know you hate
USA, USA.
I know you hate the horse racing.
I do.
How can you hate horse racing?
But did you watch, at least tune in for that to see history being made?
I don't mind going to it live, Ralph, because that's kind of fun, but I have zero ability to watch it on TV. And when it pushed the Stanley Cup Finals, I tuned in for the Stanley Cup Finals, and they had effing horse racing on. I was
not
outraged.
Effing horse racing, the Belmont Stakes.
I was outraged, sir.
The third leg of the Triple Crown.
Like, come on!
And you know, it's only 2 minutes long, right?
Oh, please. The coverage was 2 minutes long?
No, the race is two minutes long. You don't have to tune in for the coverage, but how can you hate the sport? The sport itself is only 2 minutes long. How can that bother you? You, the king of no attention span, should be the perfect sport for you. It's the only sport you should watch.
Right, but then they do 75 minutes of interviews. Can you believe it? I can't believe it. Can you believe it?
Talk. If I don't know how to talk, I wish the horses exploded.
I tuned in for hockey, sir.
Ralph, since you brought it up, would you mind if I played the call that made history, brought American Pharoah into the record books?
Let's all revel.
And they're into the stretch, and American Pharoah makes his run for glory as they come into the final furlong. Frosted is second with 1/8 of a mile to go. American Pharoah's got a two-length lead. Frosted is all out at the 16th pole.
That 90,000 people screaming and applauding went on forever, didn't it?
Yeah.
You know what it reminds me of? I'm thinking of it. It reminds me a little of a waste of time.
Couldn't you have just died?
That still may happen.
Couldn't you have just died?
But, Kevin, as a sports fan, though, just seeing
animals.
Just seeing something that you never see,
but
though.
Wait,
wasn't that exciting?
Animals.
You're right. And they just let them on the track, and they just do whatever they do, Kevin.
I don't care.
There's a guy riding on the back of the animal. Have you ever noticed that?
Good on him.
It's a very specific skill.
Good for him. I'm glad. I'm happy for the horse.
But you can't dismiss it by saying they're animals.
But they're animals.
Because there's a dude involved.
Right.
I never saw the little dude. There's a person?
Not interested, that's
but
all.
But just the fact that a dozen times since the last Triple Crown winner, somebody
not
has
interested.
Gotten to this position and then hasn't been able to close the deal by winning the Belmont Stakes because it's a very difficult, very long race against the best horses in the world.
Give the horses guns and then shoot it out.
I would watch that.
It's a remarkable achievement.
Yeah, I'm glad. Congratulations. And congratulations.
Well, congratulations to America Ferrera. Not only Ugly Betty, but also now she's got the Triple Crown, and I think she should be very proud. Today's celebrity birthdays, Jerry Stiller. Very funny and talented man. Sadly, his wife, Ann Mirren, just passed away. He is 88 years old today. Keenan Ivory Wayans is 57. Juliana Margulies. She's the Good Wife. We keep calling that show The Good Wife, but she treats her ex-husband very badly. She's 49 years old today. Maria Menounos is 37 years old. All right, easy. And rapper Kanye West turns 30.
Because, baby, I'm awesome.
He is awesome.
Also.
He is also awesome.
I'm also awesome.
Also awesome.
Right.
Also.
Okay.
Awesome.
I'm also awesome.
He's also awesome.
Y'all know.
Y'all know. He's awesome. I wish he would blow up. That'd be better. He's stupid. He owns animals.
No time for horse racing.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
New week means new giveaways, and check out what we have for you all this week here on K-Rock. Tickets for a bunch of great shows coming up in Southern California, including Mumford & Sons at the Forum, Florence and the Machine at the Hollywood Bowl, of Monsters and Men at the Greek, or Imagine Dragons play in the Forum and Honda Center. Details at K-Rock.com. Your chance to win coming up this morning on The Kevin Amin Show.
Afroline 323-520-8FRO. You can leave us a message 24 hours a day on any topic. The Duggars, pretty big topic.
I'm calling in support of the Duggars, primarily the hot mom. I'm just saying, I want to be the dad of number 20. You know what I'm saying?
Kevin, did you see any of the interview or any of the clips while you were out last week?
I did not, know.
How do you describe Michelle Duggar to Kevin, Allie?
Crazy?
A Kristen Wiig sketch on SNL.
Oh, no.
Like, so unbelievable that it's not real. And then you remember it is, which makes it terrifying.
She's a person whose vote counts as much as yours does. That's what you remember. She's got the total crazy eyes. She's got the blown out 1980s hair.
Are her eyes
bonkers?
Yes, her eyes are definitely bonkers.
Sweet.
Oh, my God. It was one of the creepiest looks into that cult, seeing that interview on Fox last week.
Still getting some response on the Shia LaBeouf.
There is an outstanding Gregory Brothers song now made from Shia LaBeouf, and there's also a great heavy metal one, too, so we'll probably get those on later this week.
I don't remember this part of it.
Penis slap. 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 Penis slap.
I like it. Some love for Allie.
Hey, guys. Love the show. Loving Allie. I just had a question. I'm not sure exactly how to send you a picture of my penis. So if you guys can get back to me. Thanks.
I think you just need to really zoom in.
Well played.
No?
I think it's just Allie at KRock.com, right?
Nope.
Right.
No,
yeah.
It's
Allie
not.
At KRock.com.
Nope.
That's how to do it.
Nope.
Hi, Allie. I'm Ed.
Thank you.
Getting a lot of that.
Hate him, too.
You did your impression of a dolphin last week, I'm guessing?
I did.
Based on this call.
Hey, Allie, your dolphin impression was hot. Made my bottlenose all excited. You know what I mean? Makes me want to play with your blowhole. Play until you squeal. I'm porpoise. Oh, yeah.
Wow. For those who missed it, Allie, I think this might be an outstanding time to debut for those people your phenomenal porpoise impression.
Holy right? Crap, that's painful. Stop
pretty
doing
good,
that.
Pretty good, though, right?
Stop doing what you're doing. She also, Allie, is fascinated by people who have the same birthday.
Hey, Allie, I just saw on the internet that we have the same birthday. Isn't that crazy? We should bone.
Well, happy birthday on Friday.
Oh, is it coming up this week?
It is. Thanks God. For asking.
How could we forget, Bean? Two and three weeks ago, she was saying, oh, yeah, June 12th. Oh, June 12th, yeah, June 12th.
It's going to be a long week.
Dear God. Here's a request for you, though, Allie.
Hey, She Bean, say mommy likey, please. Just say mommy likey.
Nope.
I want to hear it because I know it's going to be creepy, She Bean.
Nope.
Mommy likey.
Nope. That's because Bean says daddy likey. And that freaks us all out. None of us are fans of that. Omar is good enough to save some hate for me from the U2 game where I was whistling. He saved these Afro calls for a week so that when I got back, I could hear this guy.
Hey, what was that U2 song? Oh, that's the song called Kevin Screw Me Out of U2 Tickets Today, you jerk. I hate you.
Look, that wasn't my idea. It was Bean's idea.
Here's another song. That one's called Kevin's a Douchebag.
Look, again, Kevin, everybody was had you as their partner. So
yeah,
that's
a fair
contest for everybody, though. It's not like that guy was at a disadvantage because you were his partner. Everyone had to get through you to get to the tickets.
Yeah, it makes me feel better.
Hey, guys. Remember that time that Bean didn't know what Q-tips were for? Moron.
It did happen.
That was weird.
How do you not know what Q-tips are for?
That's what we said at the time and what I say again.
I had never used them. And
so?
Just not something that really crossed my mind that occurred to me because why do you need to stick something in your ear? Your ears self-clean. You don't need to do that. It was just it was a surprising category of personal hygiene that I was unaware of.
I see your logic there, and yet how are you able to be on this earth and not come across,
I don't know, somebody else
or a commercial or TV? Or
I don't know. I think everybody in the world has blind spots to things that they just were unaware of.
Yes,
and
they
that,
do.
That
are they,
one of mine.
Are they big blind spots like that? I don't know.
It's funny that that guy thought of that, though. It's been years since we had that conversation.
And it needs to happen again.
Omar, enough with the goddamn themes already. Not everything that happens on the show needs a theme. Chip knocked over a soda. Soda. Da, 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 da. Soda. Chip knocked over a soda. Hey, Bean's breathing into the microphone. Hey, Bean, could you not breathe into the microphone? Hey, Bean, could you not breathe? And then you guys repeat it 6 or 7 times. Shut up!
He sounds like a satisfied listener.
Your response, Omar?
This guy on the Afro line doesn't want me to do jingles. F*** you!
323-520-AFRO, 24 hours.
Coming up in about 10 minutes, by the way, Kevin is going to tell us the story of Friday night in the ER, which just... Friday night, by the way, seems like it'd be the busiest night in the ER anyway.
Well, it's not ideal.
Okay, so we'll hear that story coming up. But first, Brian Wilson, guys, he is the chief songwriter for a band called The Beach Boys, the most successful American rock and roll band of all time, by the way. And there's a new film that is out in theaters right now that is getting great reviews called Love and Mercy. John Cusack plays the older Brian Wilson. Paul Dano plays the younger Brian Wilson. And it's all about his tortured career. He had a lot of mental illness. He had some bad scenes with drugs and tried to keep it all together until he couldn't anymore. Let's hear a clip from the movie.
We've all grew up in California. The brothers here, Dennis, Brian, and Carl.
You hear the new Beatles? We can't let them get ahead of us.
If you want to continue to see them, you should know.
Brian is a very, very sick man.
And your voices. I didn't tell you that. I didn't want to scare you away.
The talking in your head, that's part of the song?
Jesus Christ.
Part of the music.
You are not hungry. You think you're hungry.
Brian, time for your pills. Come on.
And when you see how honked up he was, and that was 50 years ago, it's amazing that he is still alive and still with us today. But the great Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Brian, welcome back, sir.
Thanks, Kevin. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
Well, we're doing fine. First of all, congratulations on the film. I know you're in very limited release right now, but you guys made a lot of money over the weekend.
Yeah, people are saying really great things about it, so that's great that people are enjoying it.
Now, this has your blessing, this movie, you're behind it?
Yeah, absolutely. Huh? Telling the truth in this film, and it was great to, you know, they finally did have the story told, and we're really proud to be a part of it.
Good. And what do you think of the performance of the guys who played you in the film?
Well, it's hard to watch somebody playing yourself. It's kind of creepy, you know. But I think, Paul and John, they did a great job, too, and I just thought it would be great, you know, if they had been living under giant toadstools.
I'm sorry, what? You said something about living under a toadstool?
Yeah, that'd be great. You could go under there and you can just live under there and talk to the leprechauns and stuff.
He was doing so good.
Yeah, you kind of lost me there for a second. So how are you? How's your mental health now? Do you feel like you've got it pretty much together, Brian?
Yeah, absolutely. I've never felt stronger. I feel great physically and mentally, and I'm working on, great new music. And that's really, you know, that's the only thing I really care about is great new music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that has been your passion, and it is amazing to me that you still continue to release records here in the 21st century.
Yeah, listen to this new song I'm working on. I want a girl who makes a dolphin sound.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Wouldn't it be great if she could pretend to be a dolphin when we have sex?
Well, we've got some great news for you, Brian. We've got a young lady here who makes a tremendous dolphin sound.
Would you like to hear it, Brian?
Yeah, I would love to hear that. I got to get you in the studio. That'd be amazing. Put you on the record.
That sounds great.
All right. Yeah, that'd be a great sound to have there, Brian.
What? Who's happening?
Well, it's just my friend Rodney dropped by, which he helped me on the studio here.
You're there with Rodney Bingenheimer?
Yeah, you guys know Rodney Bingenheimer?
Yes, he works here at K-Rock. Of course we know him.
Oh, you're kidding me. We've been longtime friends. He's been a great supporter of mine.
Would you mind if we said hello to Rodney? Would you put him on the phone?
All right, Rodney, this guy's from the radio station. I want to talk to you. Who are they? It's Kevin and V from K-Rock. Oh, they're the enemy.
Oh, Rodney.
They say you work with you. They say you guys work. Yeah, but they're mean.
We're not mean.
No, they seem like good guys, and I think they live under coastals.
What? We're not under a toadstool, Brian.
You guys live under a toadstool?
No.
We don't.
Are you leprechauns?
No,
we're not leprechauns.
It'd be so cool if you guys were leprechauns.
It would be pretty cool.
Yeah. I'll talk about that. I talked to two guys who were leprechauns. They've got a morning radio show.
Did you just write that?
They're leprechauns.
Are you writing
that now?
Yeah.
That's not good.
That's not writing a song.
I get inspired. I get inspired to write music, and it just comes out. You don't want to bottle it up, because the next thing you know, you're living in a sandbox in your living room.
Yeah, you've been there and done that, haven't you?
I've been there and done that.
That's no good. Well, maybe it's time to start keeping some of these songs to yourself, Brian. You don't have to release everything you think of.
That's a good idea. There's some music you shouldn't share. Keep it to yourself in your head.
Okay.
But my head's really crowded. I should have a brain garage sale.
All right,
that's Godhead.
Our friend Matt Money Smith from the Petrus Money Radio Show on AM 570 joins us at 7 o'clock this morning. What a sports weekend, by the way, between the hockey and the baseball and the basketball and the horse racing and the French Open. Just a bunch of stuff to keep track of.
It's cute that you said baseball.
That is cute.
Well, baseball is a big thing.
It's cute that you said tennis.
This time of year. A lot of people were interested in the French Open.
Right.
Anyway, Matt Money Smith joins us coming up. Also, comedian Greg Fitzsimmons as well. Ladies and gentlemen, that voice you are unfamiliar with is a guy who used to be on the show back in the 90s. He's taken quite a few days off, but he is back. Kev Dog, ladies and gentlemen. Kev Dog in the house. We determined earlier, I guess it was proved when you walked through the door, that you were not, in fact, dead, as I guessed last week.
That's not surprising to me, though. People kept texting me and tweeting and saying, Bean says you're dead. And I'm like, yeah, I know. Bean says that anytime anyone calls in sick one time, maybe they're dead. That's his go-to.
All right, so
and then I think as it goes on, he convinces himself more and more that that's the truth.
I was starting to convince everybody around me, by the way. Once it got to be 3 days, 4 days, people were like, well, there's no other explanation at this point.
Yeah, last week sucked. I got sick on Monday night. I missed Tuesday. Then I thought, oh, I'll get better for Wednesday. I had to call in Wednesday. I forget what day I even sent an email saying, all right, I'll be in. And then I checked my temperature, and it was 100-something. And I was like, all right, I guess I'm not going to be in, like 2 minutes later. So for me, it's just missed opportunities. Like I could do this, I could do this. So then I had Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So then I had to call in sick on Friday. So then I thought, all right. My wife's really excited about this Bob Saget charity event. She helped sell some tables. We're going to go. We're at a table with Jimmy Kimmel and all three of the guys that I went to Brazil with. It's going to be a really fun night. So I was like, all right, look, I'm going to sleep in Friday, and I'm going to try my best, because all those people were coming over to our house. So she would say, hey, how are you feeling? Because I need to know whether to have everyone come over or not. I was like, I'm going to be fine.
Aww.
Just have them come over.
Mm-hmm.
So they all came over, and everybody, I heard everybody out in the living room having fun and laughing and taking pictures and getting ready. And something was just terribly wrong. I don't know, like Friday afternoon, I just started feeling way worse than I was earlier in the week. And I was like, I don't know what's happening.
Still fever?
Yeah, bad fever. But now it's getting worse. Like, I don't know. I just felt like I had zero energy. And I thought, and I listened to them and I was like, they're having such a good time. Just, so my wife came in, she's like, are you coming out? And I was like, I don't think I can. I'm really sorry. Just go without me. Now, she's not the type of person to take the go without me, but everyone was at the house.
Yeah.
So she's like, oh, okay, I guess I'll check in later. So they all leave and I fall asleep. And I wake up about a half hour later and my entire face is numb.
What?
Yes. That's what I thought.
And were you taking anything that you could be allergic to? Or
well, I've never been allergic to anything in my entire life.
Okay.
Ever. Ever.
Oh, got it.
Ever? Which is why I was surprised that this was happening. And I thought, well, maybe I'm allergic, I guess. I'm taking an antibiotic. Maybe that's not, you know, jiving with my system or whatever. So I'm just going to go back to sleep and it'll go away. That's always my answer.
Such a man.
That's always my answer. So about 45 minutes later, I wake up and literally I can't feel my face. So I walk into the bathroom and I look in the mirror and it looks like a clown exploded on my face. I mean, it was comical and yet
terrifying.
One eye was almost closed and my lips were huge.
What?
So I was like, God damn it. This is so annoying. I'm going to have to go to the stupid ER. When you go to an ER on Friday night, it always takes forever, and you sit there and you wait. And then the first picture came in, and it was from Brad Williams at the comedy show, at the Bob Saget, the charity event. And it was him with John Stamos.
Oh, wow.
Now, John Stamos was super scared of little people at April Foolishness, so I found that very funny. So then I was like, wow, don't tell anybody what's happening. Let them have a good time. You're a miserable wretch. Just go to the ER by yourself. So I'm the only one home at this point. So I drive to the ER.
Oh, geez.
It's only about a mile away. I pull in. I walk into the receiving room, and they've got that bulletproof glass there. And they say, what's wrong? And you sort of have to project. You sort of have to get across to them what's going on. So I said,
you didn't just point?
I think I'm allergic to something. And she says, what? And it was at that moment that I realized I literally can't say words because my lips are not working.
Oh, Kevin.
So she said, what? I said, I think I'm allergic. She said, what? For a second time. And I just pointed to my face. And she's like, oh, you're allergic. So then I got another picture from my wife, and she was hanging out with Jimmy Kimmel and a bunch of friends. I was like, good. This is perfect. She's having a good time. She would be here, but I'm miserable. I don't want to be here, so she would be miserable. So I just want her to have a good time. So then I go into the receiving nurse, and she says, what's wrong? And I go, I literally couldn't form words. And now my right eye is swollen shut. And I'm like, you know, I'm allergic. And so then they take me back to the doctor. The doctor says, what's wrong? I say, I'm allergic, blah, blah, blah. They give me an IV. And that's when I got the photo of the night, which was my wife getting served cake by Jack Black.
What?
She's like, this is so fun.
This is the best night of my life.
And I was sitting in the emergency room, but I didn't want to tell her because she's going to leave and come over there and what? I'm a miserable wretch. They're going to send me home soon. It was just an allergic reaction. So I've got an IV, and I'm looking at the picture of this, and Jack Black is serving my wife cake, and that makes me laugh. And about an hour and a half later, they go, okay, you can go home, but you got to take Benadryl for the rest of the weekend, and you got to take this steroid and that. And
did they determine what you were allergic to?
It was an antibiotic that everybody takes.
Huh.
How weird is that? It's just
that
like a
weird
generic antibiotic that everybody, it's just so prevalent, and I've never been allergic to anything in my life. So imagine my surprise when I couldn't talk. for other reasons than my normal problems. Now I'm like that. I'm like, my career could be over if this sticks. If this stays, it'll finally knock me out. So I went back and I went to bed. And then finally, when my wife was coming home, I sent her a text saying, hey, by the way, no big deal. Went to the ER, was allergic to something. That's what was wrong earlier. Glad you had a good time. And she came in and she's like, what is going on? Oh. And I look like I had a clown face. And that's when I texted that to my daughter. And she's like, you've got to Instagram that. So I put it on Instagram. And this was 5 hours into it.
So a ton of the swelling had gone down.
Yeah. So I got up. I noticed it in the mirror. I drove to the ER. They gave me an IV with Benadryl. And then like 2 or 3 hours later, I was at home and I was looking in the mirror and I took the picture of myself totally swollen up.
Wow.
And I hashtagged it Winner Kylie Jenner Lip Challenge.
Totally. It's exactly what it looks like.
And I thought that was funny. And then somebody – and that's the first time like I realized, oh, I just think I look stupid. But then somebody said, did you Photoshop this? And I was like, no, that was – I did that the old-fashioned way. I was
you earned it, man.
I was allergic.
You earned it.
So I had a –
those deep, dark circles under your eyes, too, were pretty troubling.
Yeah, it was all troubling. But in an annoying way. You know what I mean? Like, that's going to go away, and this sucks so much. And I was really – I was happy that my wife had a good time, and Brad Williams and everybody, they were all having a great time, and they came home. They were like, we're so sorry. I was like, look, that's just – it's all
right.
They
couldn't have, you're absolutely right,
though.
They couldn't have done anything had they been there or had they not gone.
The only thing that made me happier is that other people are actually having fun.
Yeah.
And then it was like, oh, screw it. It's just another night.
So you're still dying, though, right?
No, I'm good. Stop yelling at me.
Don't be dumb.
Well, I can't help that.
Well, just why do you want to put other people at risk?
I don't.
I was tired of not doing things. Then go do something else somewhere else, but don't come here.
Go back to Las Vegas.
Go miniature golfing.
I don't feel like – who goes miniature golfing?
I don't know. Go get aerobics juice. Do some freaking thing, but don't come in here spreading your diseases.
I'm sure it's well past
I've not had a fever for 8 minutes.
I'm sure it's well.
Let me just lick your hair.
I didn't have a fever last night. I didn't have one this morning. It's all.
I'm saying you can be contagious with a serious infection,
Dr. Ralph.
For up to days after the fever finally breaks.
Is that
just
true,
not
really?
Having a fever doesn't mean anything. You've been seriously ill for a week.
I mean.
And you've had a fever for your
a week.
Fever is gone for less than 24 hours. You said before Veep last night you still had a fever.
Before
it was
Veep
o'clock, last time you checked.
And it was the East Coast feed, Ralph, so that was like 7:30.
Sweet Jesus. I was tired of sitting at home being sick, so I thought I'd get you guys sick.
We'll find out who catches it by the end of the show, I guess. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Monday morning. Kevin Abine Show, what's going on?
Top 10 movies at the box office. We do it every Monday morning. Spy, the new Melissa McCarthy comedy, took first place this weekend with $30 million.
I hear it's funny.
I heard it's funny, too. Jason Statham, Jude Law also getting great reviews. San Andreas was second with $26.4 million. Insidious, Chapter 3, in its debut, made $23 million. That was good enough to make it number three. Entourage debuted to just $10.4 million.
Lloyd!
Ari's not happy with that. Mad Max, Fury Road was fifth, then Pitch Perfect 2, Tomorrowland, Avengers, Age of Ultron, Aloha, and Poltergeist. The rest of the top 10 movies at the box office. Speaking of movies, legendary director Uwe Boll is back in the news. You may not know the name, but he is known as the German Ed Wood. Maybe one of the worst film directors of all time. Uwe Boll has made crappy movie after crappy movie, largely many of them based on video games, failing to satisfy either gamers or movie fans.
How does he keep doing this then?
Well, he makes very cheap films. And his films, because they tend to be very blood and guts oriented, do fairly well overseas in the market. So usually they make their money back at least. However, now he's having a hard time making his films. He's trying to make a sequel to his 2009 film Rampage. And
because the people are demanding it?
Well, no one is demanding it, but he's gone to Kickstarter to try to raise the money via crowdfunding. He was trying to raise $55,000 and came up with less than half of that, with 3 days left. This is his third shot. He's done Indiegogo with the same campaign and another crowdsourcing website, and now he is fed up. He is. He's had an assful of his fans and of Hollywood and of movie making.
Finally.
He went on a curse-filled rant on Sunday, blaming everyone else but his own lack of talent for his failure. I thought you'd be entertained. It's about a minute long. Here's the director, Uwe Boll. If you can get past his German accent, it's pretty spectacular.
So, here's Uwe Boll, and that is the last update. We have only 4 days to do with the Rampage campaign. And that was my third campaign now, after Postal 2 failed, after Indiegogo for Rampage 3 failed, and now Kickstarter failed too. And basically my message is, f*** yourself, because that is so absurd. What amateur idiots collecting money on that absurd website, you know? We get approached by people like Kickstarter. Do it, do it. And you have hundreds of thousands of people contacting you to make a fast dime to say, I can push your campaign and I get 10% of whatever you collect. And it's all bullshit. I will never do it in my life again. For me, crowdfunding is absolutely dead. Goodbye. And it looks like nobody gives a about Rampage 3, so maybe I shouldn't do it then. I have enough money to play golf till I'm dead, and I was willing to do all of this as the campaigns for to make any money. I want to do Rampage 3 because it is an important movie, but it looks like you're easier giving $600,000 if you make a movie about some wizard in the forest or for another whatever Marvel Avengers bull dirt. So goodbye and goodbye Hollywood.
Who showed us?
Wow.
He'll teach us.
Ralph, is he the guy who wanted to box the critics of his movies?
And has.
Oh, he has. Okay.
Yes, he has a standing
invitation. The same guy.
For anybody who criticizes his films, he will take you in the boxing ring and beat you up if you criticize his films. And then he takes the footage of those fights and he puts them as DVD extras on his films after that. So he has fought a couple critics. He also challenged Quentin Tarantino to a boxing match. Quentin declined.
Isn't it amazing that that guy still has that level of confidence where he's telling the world,
yes,
F you, you're all wrong.
Yeah.
Still, he's one of the early people on American Idol. That's who this guy is.
He is crazy.
Why does he think this sequel to the movie about a video game and no one saw the original is an important movie that needs to be made?
That was my favorite part, too. He wanted to do it not for the money, but because it's an important film.
Sure.
Rampage 3. It does sound important. And
if you have enough money to play golf the rest of your life, why don't you fund it, a-hole?
Great question.
Monkey.
Maybe he plays a public course.
Oh, good.
Yeah, maybe he doesn't have that much money.
Miniature golf.
Now, Kevin slammed Hollywood. He slams other filmmakers. There's a whole other section where he talks about how Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt are a-holes. And then he says, the only thing, as bad as this guy is, he said the only thing he would never do is go to work when he was sick and get other people sick. So I think even Uwe Boll has that much judgment.
Now, if they put a scene with a clean piece of glass,
would
you donate, Kevin?
Rampage into that glass. That'd be funny. Here's my donation.
Because he doesn't see it.
Today is celebrity birthdays. Actor Jerry Stiller is 88 years old today. You know him from King of Queens and from Seinfeld. Half of the very famous and popular and talented Stiller and Mira comedy team. His wife, Ann, just passed away. 88 years old today. Keenan Ivory Wayans is 57. Juliana Margulies turns 49. Maria Menounos is 37 years old, and rapper Kanye West turns 38. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Matt Money Smith, ladies and gentlemen, co-host of the Petros Money Radio Show on AM 570 LA Sports. How are you, sir?
I am well. After battling the fine freeways of this wonderful city of ours, I'm happy to be sitting in studio, or at least I was going to be happy to be sitting in studio
until
I found out Captain Infection decided to make his way in today. I'm leaving for vacation a week from Thursday, and so help me God if I get sick.
You could get it from anywhere.
I will spend the tens of thousands of dollars to have that plane land on the roof of your house while you are sleeping if you get me sick.
I'm not going to.
All right. No open mouth kissing before you leave.
That's what we usually do.
That's what I'm saying.
Why do you think I came in?
So, Money, I always marvel at the fact that you're able to see everything that goes on in the world of sports, particularly this time of year when there's so much happening. You just essentially, you kiss your family goodbye when and see them again when?
This is something that I've come to love, that I've become very fond of, so much so that it cripples me to watch live sports, which is tough not to do because people want you to tweet and get snarky during games and make fun of little Australian point guards that are putting it on Steph Curry and things like that. But I have become so addicted to DVR equity that I...
What does that mean?
I love pausing. Like, I've got to get up and do something. So I pause the game.
Oh, I see.
And I now get to fast forward through all the commercials. And I catch up by the time it's over. I try to type things out. Like, this is how competitive I am in my early 40s now. This is my form of competition. All right, how much can I do where I can get through the commercials because I have all this DVR equity, but still make it to the end of the game?
You have to end at the same time in case it's not
spoiled. Have to see it live. Have to see it live at the end. But be able to fast forward through as many commercials as possible. So to answer your question, Bean, the DVR has changed my life.
And it's very different with the NHL because, you know, there's 20 minutes in between or 50 minutes in between, and then the NBA is not quite so much.
Not so much. Yeah. Well, but then you get the overtime, and that's where you, maybe you run a little bit of a risk, or you feel stupid because now you're sitting through two commercial breaks. Who wants to do that? So but it was a busy weekend, yes, Bean.
A very busy weekend. Are we excited then to see both the hockey and the basketball playoffs be tied up?
You know, I think so. The hockey feels like it's going to finish in a triple overtime game seven, the way these two teams stack up. I hope people enjoy it, even though the Ducks didn't make it in and the Kings are not back there, that there's enough for them to cheer for. You know, when the Rangers lost, I said it's probably the best thing for the finals, just because Tampa's so fun to watch. They're so fast and they're so athletic, and it actually, you know, leads to, like, the first game, the fact that they're up and you think they have the Blackhawks held down, and then bang, bang. And then last night we get a lot of athletic plays on the ice, or 2 days ago, I should say, Saturday. So I think it makes for a great finals. As for the NBA, yes, everybody was riding off the Cavs. You know, LeBron can't do it alone. LeBron can't. Yeah, he can.
Turns out
he's that good that he can do it alone.
Can he get through four games, though, is the question.
It'd be awesome if he could. Yeah. You know, I think for all the people in L.A. that love Kobe so much and want to see me get into a car wreck on the way home because I say things like, you know, LeBron's better than Kobe. You know, LeBron will go down as – he's got a shot to go down as the greatest ever. Making five finals in a row is – and I heard your gasp, Allie. Don't you give me your –
No, I'm with Allie. That's questionable.
Crazy, Tom.
I mean, it could be. It might well end up that way, but
yeah,
it isn't yet.
Five
it's not
finals
yet.
In a row. He didn't win them all.
Yeah, it is, though. It
no,
doesn't.
No, yeah, it's not.
I mean, Kobe lost a final. Kobe lost two finals.
But how many did he win?
He won five.
Okay, and how many LeBron won?
How many did Jerry West win? You know, he won one and lost six. He's still in the conversation as the greatest small forward in the history.
Let's say he's not in the conversation, but let's not close
the
conversation.
No, I mean, look, it's going to be hard to overcome Michael Jordan 6-0 in the finals. You're probably never going to get past that. But just eyeballing it, watching LeBron James, how do you step in front of that guy when he's attacking the rim? You just don't. He's 6'8".
Like,
he's 260 pounds. He jumps higher than everyone on the court. He grabs 14 rebounds, dishes out 10 assists. I mean, it is such a great watch.
And he looks like a man among boys. He just
and he's
does.
30. I mean, that's the other thing, you know. And it's not a 30. I started playing when I was 22. It's a Kobe Bryant-esque. I've got tens of thousands of minutes on these legs, and I get destroyed every time I get into the paint. And yet, you know, when you think about 18 free throws, that means you're getting your ass kicked all over the court in that game when you go to the free throw line 18 times, and to still be able to do what he does. And I just bring it up in that context because I think that's what happens here is people get so defensive of their heroes. Like, I can't root for LeBron because Kobe's my guy. No, you can. You can still have Kobe be your guy. Kobe's got five championships, and his legacy is intact. He is good. He will never be considered the greatest of all time, but he will be considered one of the greatest. So enjoy this guy that is playing with an Australian dude that looks like he picked him up off a freight train car, and he's checking Steph Curry, and some kid who forgot that he's supposed to cut his hair because the finals are. I mean, it's remarkable the cast of characters that he's playing with.
It does look like none of them should be. He looks like the ultimate NBA player, and none of the rest of the team should even be in the NBA.
Right. It's this guy shows up and says, okay, you see these four guys sitting over here playing Pokemon, you're going to join me on the court, and we're going to beat him. And that's what he's doing. I mean, it's what a Pokemon reference.
That's good. That's strong.
2015.
Like now, all season long, I feel like those who watch the NBA were saying the Golden State Warriors are the best team in the NBA.
Yeah.
And
they were. I mean, and it was a season for the ages, Bean. I mean, that's a thing. That's how good the Warriors were this season. Offensively, even defensively, margin of victory, their average margin of victory was 11 points per game. Their stars didn't have to play but 30 minutes per game of a 48-minute game because they were so dominant. And here we go. You know, you get into the NBA Finals, and this has always been a complaint, is that they allow teams to muddy up the game. And it doesn't look the same as it does in the regular season where fouls are called and, you know, you're not allowed to grab and pull and hack away. But they do in the finals. And when you have a team.
And they let it go. I heard the announcers a lot of time going, look, this is the finals. That's what happens.
Right. And it's.
They let them
and
play.
I don't get that. I don't quite understand that. I don't know why you wouldn't want the finals to be representative of what's happened for the last nine. But God knows the season's freaking long enough and the playoffs are long enough to all of a sudden change everything.
The last game's on the 4th of July, right?
No, I think it's actually August 15th. Okay. Yeah. It's right when football starts.
I don't want to rush that because when that's gone and hockey's gone.
Yeah, you can really enjoy and take your time with baseball.
Kevin, you know, you can focus on what Syed, the owner of American Pharoah, saying that old horse is going to run the breeders.
I love horse racing.
You can focus on that,
much.
Man. You can focus on the Breeders' Cup. Yeah. How about that? Taking on the old men out there on the track, huh? Sport of Kings, Kevin.
Nothing.
Are you not
dull.
The king of Tarzan? Are you not the Duke? Are you not a faithful Duke of Tarzan? The king.
More boring than horse racing.
How is it boring?
How can you say that?
If I'm there and I'm gambling and I'm drinking, fine.
Okay.
If I'm not, look, everybody says that about hockey. Everybody says that about hockey. Can't watch it on TV. Well, I love it on TV. I can watch games that aren't my team.
So now we have to bend to your preferences,
but I'm saying,
you won't bend to ours.
I'm saying I won't bend yours. No, because I would love to be interested in that horse racing. Everybody seemed excited.
So here's what you do.
I was bored.
You go to the TVG.com and you make your bet. And then check this out. There's this thing they have called a refrigerator, and it keeps drinks cold. You go there, and that's where you get your beer. And now you've made your bet, your wager,
right.
Via this thing. The advent of the internet has allowed us to do this, right?
But I don't.
And now you're sitting on your couch.
But now if I'm spending real money, now I need to get into who's going to win and who's not, and who gives a crap.
Okay, wait a minute. Wait a minute, Allie. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no problem.
You're telling me that you're going to do research? That you are going to investigate something?
When I bet? Yes, sir. Yes, I am. F you.
I feel like you're confusing horse racing with the 6 hours of NBC's pregame leading up to
that's possible.
Racing.
I mean, that is possible.
The actual race, though, Kevin.
Because
you don't
I did
watch
tune
that?
In for the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And they went on and on with those interviews. I was like, God damn it.
Oh,
how long?
Who's their lead analyst over there? Who is it? Is it Eddie Olczyk? Is it the same guy that's doing the analysis over there on the hockey, doing all the analysis on the horse racing? If you can't, not on the horse racing, but for the NHL, he also does horse racing analysis.
But did he do it that day? No, he did not.
There was a little cross promotion there. Little cross promotion.
I was super bummed. I was angry. I don't need that.
Why can't you watch the 2 minutes? It's 2 minutes.
I could have. It's not
it's
2 minutes.
2 minutes.
It's 6 hours.
That's what he's confusing with horse racing versus the actual race.
So just watch the race.
I can't because I'm waiting for the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Now, wait a minute. Your brain can't process. The playoffs are not on yet. Bob Costas in his tiny self, just the little man that he is sitting in a high chair. Next to the track talking. I don't need to watch yet.
Not interested.
I don't have to watch yet.
And by the way, I was sick and had nowhere to go. But I wasn't into that. I was like, come on.
You didn't like watching the video of American Pharoah running when they were interviewing the trainers? Did you see that little piece?
I did.
How awesome was that?
It was
seeing
amazing.
The trainers going, oh my God, look at him run. It was awesome. The muscles, the sinewy. I mean, come on, Kevin.
Matt, how'd you like the... how'd you like
sinewy.
Right?
How'd you like the jockey
with the... popping out.
Oh, all right.
How'd you like the jockey on the horse talking to his guy when he was holy S? Did you see
that?
Yeah,
right. You know what here's my favorite part of horse racing is they're handing out the Triple Crown trophy and the Belmont trophy and all that. And you see like this New York guy grabbing the watch box. Listen, you got to get the Longinus watch in there, all right? Here, give the and he's handing this watch box like right in front of the jockey's face as he's being interviewed. Meanwhile, Victor Espinosa, the horse has just won the Triple Crown. This is supposed to be like a royal moment. He's got his monster drink turtleneck, and then he's got his monster hat. Okay, we can see it, Vic. We got the idea. We see the monster. You don't have to take the hat off now and shove it into the camera
even
so we can see the logo.
They're bored by horse racing.
How dare you?
How dare you?
How dare you? Bored.
Mad Buddy Smith is here for the Pension Money Radio Show, AM 570 from 3 to 7 in the afternoon. We'll take a quick break. More with our guests right after this on K-Rock. Comedian Greg Fitzsimmons next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, thanks for that tweet, Bean. Matt Money Smith is in the studio with us right now for the Pension Money Radio Show. So you're a horse or a frog, man? What are you today?
I'm a horse.
You're a horse, okay.
I'm a horse, yeah. You know, get on the horse, ride us, and hey, apropos, considering the Triple Crown with old American Pharaoh there. It's impacted our lives, has it not? Aren't we all horse racing fans now?
No.
Oh, you are?
I wanted to ask
you are?
I wanted to ask you a thing, because Kevin would have missed this being down with the Ebola last week.
Freaking Ebola.
Oakland A's are in Boston at Fenway Park for the Red Sox this past weekend. And something happened Friday night that I've never seen happen before. I will not watch the video. Did you watch it?
What are we talking about?
It's brutal. So a woman, family. And, you know, listen, if you take kids to a baseball game, please be conscious of where you're sitting, because balls go pretty fast and bats can break, and a lot of bats break. And it's something that Major League Baseball has been talking about for a while, that this maple that they're using now, bats just shatter. And when they shatter and they're moving at a high rate of speed, it's probably going to hurt. And a woman got tagged right in the head, and her son is watching the horror as her mother is losing a
Don't
lot of...
Don't call her a whore. That's terrible.
I think you said horror.
I think I did, didn't I? Oh. Yes. Did I call her a whore? That'd be terrible.
I thought you did, and it seemed terrible.
I don't like
She's
Boston sports fans.
She
did
She is going
right
to survive,
there.
But yeah, lost a lot of blood. Took a bat to the head.
Right to the face, yeah. And apparently it was so loud that you could hear her screaming on the radio broadcast, even for people who weren't even at the game. Dear and everybody God. Around her is just horrified, and there's just blood. Like people,
everywhere.
People couldn't believe how much blood there was because they hit her right in the face.
She's a bitch.
She's not a bitch at all. She's just unfortunate. Wrong place, wrong time.
Serious condition, Kevin. Like so critical condition.
No, life-threatening injuries,
yeah, right,
Kevin.
I wasn't aware of that.
Is her small child was in
so
tears.
So they stopped the game
over her,
and they had medical personnel come out and take her out, and then
They didn't take her out. They put her on a stretcher and then moved her to safety.
They moved her to the side.
I know we were just talking about horse racing, and you know, you wreck a leg. Next thing you know, the sheet comes out. You hear the blast, and that's that.
So they put her down, and then. So here's the question I have for you, Money. And
yes.
I'm serious. I gave this a lot of thought over the weekend because you can find this video on Deadspin and a lot of the sites over the weekend. If you read the description of what happened to that woman, what kind of person are you if you then click on the video to watch it happen?
Well, maybe this speaks to what
Money
I decided to do.
Money saw it.
An inquisitive one?
Did you watch it more than
curious
once?
Curious one? No, I just – I wanted to hear the – I wanted to hear the broadcast, believe it or not, is kind of what I was looking for because...
You wanted to hear how the announcers handled
what
the woman taking a bat to the head?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was, like Bean said, so violent and immediately apparent that this was not your average, they took one to the head and, okay, they got him sitting up. That was not the case.
This wasn't somebody whose beer was knocked over by a foul ball.
No.
No, and it was a delay of game for a
about 15, 20 minutes. Yeah, it was a bad scene. So, yeah, don't watch it would be my recommendation
don't
if you're thinking
it.
About it.
I just, just queasy with the fact that the video existed and then it was up there for people to click on for entertainment.
But then again, I like that Tosh.0, you know, like one of my favorite shows. So maybe that speaks to what I like to watch when it comes to videos available on the internet.
Now, does she get to keep the bat as a souvenir?
How dare you?
Well, I think it's embedded in her face.
She has a choice.
Few of those shards of wood. Well, I think that's what happened is, you know, that when it broke, it wasn't the smooth end like the barrel that hit her, but the jagged end that came right in there and got her.
What can they do, by the way, just a different formula on the wood that they use in the bats?
That's what they're saying. The bats aren't as hard as they used to be.
Is there a non-shattering version of wood like you have with the windshields in your car?
Yeah, I think they're saying the wood they use now is breaking at a much higher rate, like 200% more than the wood they used before.
And
but that's what the hitters want.
The net.
That's weird.
Farther.
I was going to ask about the net because they do that in hockey. But
remember what happened in hockey.
Yes.
That's why.
But I can't imagine baseball fans, a lot of whom bring their gloves and want the foul ball. I can't.
You don't want a foul ball there. that's the problem. It's just those are rockets right there off of. And I realize that.
Listen, I hear you, but I'm just saying I don't know what the outrage would be if they started
put the net up.
Yeah.
Still see through it.
Yeah,
no. Just not going to have to wear one to the head. You know?
Right, exactly. All right. Hey, listen, congratulations, by the way, to our latest Kevin Bean winner, Chris Thompson from La Crescentia. Just won tickets. We got a bunch of great seats for great shows coming up in Southern California this summer, including Florence and the Machine at the Hollywood Bowl, which is what Chris chose. Your chance to win is coming up. We did get a hold of our resident doctor, Dr. Mo, Matt. I want you to stick around and talk to him to find out how infected we are all. Because Kevin came in today.
I've got
to
stay here and get more infected?
That's right.
No! I'm leaving!
Lick Kevin, and then we'll have that conversation with Dr. Bo when we return right after this on K-Rock. All right. So do we need to do the thing here, by the way, first, or do we not?
Probably should do the thing.
Let's do the thing. You have the thing.
Two different grand prize winners. They both got tickets to Incubus and Deftones. The grand prize is tickets for them and 10 friends, their own dressing room. They get to meet and greet the bands and introduce the bands with a K-Rock jock.
Who's the band?
The winner for August 28th at the Forum is Elisa Pendoja.
Yay!
From Alhambra. Waiting the drums. And the winner for August 29th at the Irvine Meadows is Miguel Zepeda from Norwalk.
This is good radio.
Congratulations.
Well, we're required to announce the winners.
Do you have to take an hour to do it?
No, we don't.
All right.
All right, here's the question. Now, I know it sounds like we're just talking about Kevin, but we're actually – this is a public service announcement that we're doing because we're actually going to deal with this once and for all so that the next time you get sick and think, oh, I'm fine, I'm just going to go into work and infect all of your coworkers, you won't. Or maybe you will based on what Dr. Mo tells us because we don't know the answer to this. How do you know when you're still contagious after you've been sick? Kevin has spent the last week at home with a combination of the AIDS and the Ebola and the bird flu. I mean, he had them all.
That's the thing. The guy's like seriously ill for 4 days with a ton of different symptoms. And at 7 o'clock last night, he finally stopped having a fever and said, well, I'm going to go to work then because I must be fine now. The absence of a fever does not mean you're not contagious.
Well, are you a doctor?
No, but there's, you know what? Facts exist, and you can find them regardless of your profession.
Well, let's find out. Let's ask Dr. Mo because this is a question that we have often debated here on this program with our various coworkers because we work in an environment that, let's face it, is pretty much like, I mean, it's pretty much an incubator in here,
being
right?
Being a moonshot.
We're all breathing the same air.
Yes.
Dr. Mo, welcome back to the Kevin Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Hi, everybody. How you doing?
Mo,
we need some help here.
Drop some knowledge on us, Mo.
Tell us what we don't know about how you can tell when you're infectious.
Well, this is exactly how The Walking Dead started.
Thank you. Thank you. So we can put a crossbow bolt through Kevin's head. That would be completely acceptable, right?
I can't recommend that in public. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Dr. Mo.
The real medical knowledge that you're not going to like to hear is that he was probably contagious when he was in the studio last time, sharing it all with
Boom!
Me, showing symptoms.
No, Kevin, don't be happy about that.
Oh, what?
No, you were still the Typhoid Mary of the morning show, but it probably happened before you're showing symptoms. The diseases that are contagious all are contagious at different times, and you're absolutely right. Some of them, you are contagious while you're showing the symptoms, like the fever or the runny nose, that sort of stuff. Some of them, you're more contagious in the prodrome stage, where you may be shedding the virus or whatever, but you're not necessarily showing the symptoms, making everybody else think you are actually that, like, toxic and deathly appearing and stuff. So if there's any...
So that's a confusing answer.
I'm trying not to confuse the answer, but I know how you guys like, oh, it's end times, it's Ebola, it's all that other stuff. And the good news is that if the rest of you would have caught it, you probably would have been already gotten sick.
Okay. I know what we're talking about. Kevin's situation is two different things. Is how contagious was he when he came in last Monday before he knew he was sick? And then how contagious is he when he comes in today when he had a fever up until 12 hours ago? And that's what's really concerning us the most. Like Ralph says, he was seriously ill. The fever just broke at 7:30 last night. Do you think it's safe for him to come in this morning?
For you guys, yes.
How about for regular people?
No. For Kevin is a different story.
No, Ralph's saying for Ralph, and for Allie, and for Chip.
Does the absence of a fever 12 hours ago mean he's not contagious, he's fine, he can just come in here and spread his goop?
Yeah, again, don't be spreading goop everywhere. I mean...
You can't help it. Look at him, how goopy he is.
How dare you?
Yeah, goopy's nasty, and I recommend against goop on surfaces, because that you'll get you infected no matter what. But, yes. He's not going to be getting y'all sick right now. Even though he had a fever last night, remember, a lot of people have fevers for different reasons. It's viruses, it's bacteria, it's a bunch of other stuff. So you guys are going to live through the day.
Okay, so you think he's probably not airborne contagious this morning if his fever broke last night.
Correct.
Well, that's good news, Ralph. That's what we were hoping to hear.
Now, suck it, Ralph.
Now, I will change my mind I will change my mind if sometime during the broadcast he starts coughing and looking a little bit toxic and the little droplets are going everywhere and y'all have to break out the breathing masks and stuff. That's a different story.
Okay.
But right now it sounds like the fever broke last night. He sounds okay. The little bit I heard on the radio, that's clinically he's looking like he's getting better and that's actually worth something.
Okay, now
what
let me
ask. What if he's got E. coli?
E. coli is nasty, and if you're asking me about E. coli, you probably know how it's spread, and that probably goes back to the problems you chronically have in the K-Rock bathroom.
That's what I'm saying, though. Yeah. He's like a monkey.
You are sharing a bathroom. How dare you? That's true. I forgot about that.
He's like a gibbon, Doc. That's the problem.
I'm not.
We're not talking about somebody who's like a
person.
Come
on, Ralph. We're all having fun.
He's really not clean.
Hey, Dr. Bo, let me ask you another question since we have you on the line and we can get away with free medical advice here, and that is that Kevin found out at the end of last week after a visit to the emergency room that he had suddenly become allergic to an antibiotic, having never had allergies his entire life before. How uncommon is that for an adult to develop that kind of allergy?
Yeah, that was a little disturbing photograph to see first thing in the morning. Dave gave me the heads up on poor Kevin's face. That was
after the ER visit.
Yeah. It is relatively uncommon to develop allergies after the fact, especially if I've had penicillin my whole life, and now all of a sudden I'm allergic to penicillin. It's probably something else that we haven't figured out yet, and that's the hardest part, because many times people go to the emergency room and they won't get just one thing, and teasing it out is a little bit of an issue. I'm glad he's okay. I mean, he got some swelling and that sort of stuff, and now we got to figure out what it is. If they think it's an antibiotic, we have to list that for him now forever. Mm-hmm. But I would contact your primary care doctor and start looking into a little bit more, see what else you got in the emergency room, and see if it could possibly be something different.
So you think he's got some mystery ailment, but you're sure he's not contagious. You're a freaking quack.
No.
You give up your license.
I
don't know. He could be. It's probably not an allergy. He's probably got some strange disease that I've never heard of, but I'm sure he just can't give it to anyone at work. Just take your shingle down.
I love you, Ralph, so much.
All right, Dr. Rowe.
So Melissa, I'm good is what you're saying.
He has no idea what he's saying. He has no idea.
I will tell you that Ralph and Allie and Bean, of course, being like far away, they're all fine. You, I don't know, not so much.
You don't know. All right. You don't know, man.
Ralph, is this going to be a problem? Should I just go home?
You shouldn't have come in. It's too late now.
All right. Well, what do you want me to do?
Should I put the bees back in the bottle? That's what you're asking. No, you shouldn't take the cork out of the bee bottle. Word to your mama.
I don't know what just happened. Thank you, Mom. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:54.
Time for another look at the showbiz beat here on a Monday morning. Here's Ralph Garman.
It took me 30 seconds to look it up on the CDC website.
What?
The flu. If you have the flu,
stop complaining.
You're contagious for... you're no longer contagious 24 hours after your fever breaks.
So you're saying Kevin is contagious right now if his fever didn't break till last night.
That's what I'm saying. It won't be until 7 o'clock tonight. After 7 o'clock tonight, then he won't be contagious anymore.
But Veep time.
That took me 30 seconds to find out lunch. We have a doctor called. That guy's, he's not even a doctor.
He is a doctor.
He's
actually.
Not.
He's absolutely a doctor.
He probably kills a lot of people then if he is a doctor because he doesn't know the simplest facts about infections. Just saying.
Everyone else is excited to see me though, right? Anyone?
We're excited to see you. You're just going to be the last thing we see before we die, too.
Top 10 movies at the box office. We take a look every Monday morning. Spy with Melissa McCarthy took first place this weekend. Jason Statham, Jude Law also star. $30 million. That's how much it made. San Andreas was right behind it with 26.4. Then Insidious Chapter 3 in its debut was $23 million. Entourage in its debut, $10.4 million, was good enough to make it number four.
Lloyd!
Mad Max Fury Road was fifth, then Pitch Perfect 2, Tomorrowland, Avengers Age of Ultron, Aloha, and Poltergeist. Boy, the Hawaiians are upset about Aloha. Who knew?
Hey, the Americans are upset about Aloha because it sucks.
Well, yeah, but the Hawaiians are upset for a whole completely different
reason.
What
are they upset about?
Well, first of all, it uses that word as a title, which are like, hey, that's our word, it's our culture, and now you're just taking it and just slapping it on a movie.
Okay.
And apparently Emma Stone in the film is supposed to be Hawaiian. And they're like, really? The pale redheaded girl? She's your Hawaiian representative of our culture in this movie?
That's sort of legit,
F I think. F you, Cameron Crowe, they said. Or actually, they did this. They just kind of
they
talked,
hula danced
they talked with their hips and their hands. They didn't really have to say anything. They just shook their grass skirt in his general direction. You got the message.
Ralph, I have a question that maybe...
Oh,
yeah,
for Christ's sake.
Maybe
now
too,
what?
Too big an issue to bring up for your showbiz beat, but I'm serious about this.
Oh, good.
Cameron Crowe.
Hold on. Let's hold on. If that's your thought process, if you say, oh, I would like to say this, but you know what? It may be too much for the showbiz beat. It would take up too much time. Isn't that a little red flag in the head that goes, oh, I'm just going to table this then for another time.
I can't stop myself. Here's my question.
Bean's got to know.
No.
Cameron Crowe, can we agree, is one of the great filmmakers in the world?
No, we cannot agree on that.
Okay, so we agree on that.
We cannot agree on
how
that.
How about was?
No.
You never
He's always been a sentimental hack.
Untrue.
It's just there has been a time where his films were in fashion, and now there's a time where we go,
no,
oh,
excuse
really?
Me.
We
like those? Singles and Jerry Maguire and Almost Famous, those are great.
Great soundtracks.
Great movies.
Great soundtracks.
And
great soundtracks. Great soundtrack. Jerry Maguire is sentimental claptrap. You had me at hello, and who's with me? It's fantasy BS.
Are you saying if I went back and watched it today, it would not hold up?
I don't know about you. I can't speak for you and your level
of
discerning ability.
But my memory of it is it was great.
It's claptrap. It's treacle.
So how about Almost Famous?
I don't know that word, but it sounds terrible.
Treacle's like a sugary confection with no real nutritional value whatsoever.
All right.
But my question is, what went so horribly wrong with him?
Ralph's saying nothing.
Elizabethtown, and
saying
we
nothing.
Bought a zoo, and now there's
yes.
a law. Like,
slow
why
down.
Doesn't he have people around him
no.
who go, dude, these movies suck,
no,
don't put
the
them
emperor
out?
The emperor has no clothes.
He did that?
That was one of his? So you're saying it hasn't been as far a drop-off in quality as it seems to me. You're saying his movies have always been overrated, it sounds like?
Yes. You have crystallized my thoughts perfectly.
Allie, what do you think about the great Cameron Crowe?
Great soundtrack.
I don't want to color your opinion, but what do you think of the great Cameron Crowe?
Not a loaded
and his,
question.
And his genius. How much of a genius do you think he is? Just a regular genius or super genius?
Best filmmaker ever or just one of the best?
Great soundtracks.
Great soundtracks, indeed.
But Aloha apparently just is a turd. I don't understand how a filmmaker like
that. But how can a great filmmaker like that make a film that's so bad?
Well, that's what I'm trying
Where's
to figure out.
Is super
like,
genius today.
How does something like that happen?
This is the first second that I'm sorry I came in.
I can't get my head
right there. Just right there it was.
Could have been. Oh. Could have been at home sick. But no, instead
that.
You're here.
Oh.
Listening to this.
It was a mistake.
All right, back to you, Ralph.
And again, congratulations to America Ferrara, star of Ugly Betty, and now the Triple Crown winner for the first time in 37 years. So
that's,
congratulations to
America
Ferrara.
That's American Pharaoh. American Pharaoh.
I'm sorry, what?
Completely different.
What's that?
This was a horse, not an actress.
What's that? Today's celebrity birthdays. Jerry Stiller. I get sad every time I mention his birthday because this is his first birthday where he has to deal with the fact that his wife of 61 years, Ann Mira, is no longer with him. And that's a...
It's an insane number.
It's a bad time.
You think he's out whoring around?
Yeah, I think that's where Ralph's coming from, where he feels bad about him.
You are not a good person.
Maybe he's just waiting for this this chapter in his life where he could be single again. You ever think about that?
No. Not once.
No one does, robot. Because we have hearts and feelings and souls.
That's bullshit.
Life is for the living, Ralph.
Jerry Stiller is 88 years old today. Keenan Ivory Wayans celebrates his 57th birthday. Juliana Margulies from ER and The Good Wife, of course, 49 years old. Maria Menounos celebrates her 37th birthday. And Kanye West. Still no word on whether he's going to rent out Disneyland. I think the latest we heard is that it's not happening. So instead, he is going to tie his 2-year-old daughter to a rocket and shoot her into orbit to celebrate her birthday, which I think.
Because, baby, I'm awesome.
You are awesome, Kanye. That's true.
Also.
Forget that.
You are also awesome.
I'm also awesome.
You are awesome.
Also. I'm also awesome. Y'all know.
Auto-tune.
How many motherfuckers you done seen with a leather jogging pant?
It's a good question.
Yeah, it's a great question.
You can't. Every time I go to the gym, all I see are people wearing leather jogging pants.
Ralph, you said pants. He said pant.
That's true. They only wear half, which is odd. They wear one leather jogging pant, and then the rest is just nude. It's a lot of balls, is what you have, sir, to make that statement. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Greg Fitzsimmons, ladies and gentlemen, popular podcaster and stand-up comedian in studio with us here on the Kevin Bean Show. You can see him this Saturday night at the Comedy Store at 10:30. Tickets are on sale now, gregfitzsimmons.com. Hey, Greg, how are you, buddy?
It's good to be here. Got here early. Nice to spend a little time here in the waiting room.
Mm-hmm. You didn't sit on that couch in the office, did you?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, man. You don't want to know.
Yeah. And I talked to, who's the researcher? What's her name again?
Christine.
I talked to Christine about, like, you know, how there is no sexual harassment on this show. There's no line because she has to research. She said she has to call corporate and get passcodes
to
Dr. Skin and Triple X, you know, Beaver and... You know, and she's just this poor little Asian girl who's used to working in law firms and environmental groups.
Take it easy.
She does have to do some degrading things in the name of earning a paycheck, though. But who doesn't?
But really? She knew that before she came to the show.
Yeah,
she
did. Her eyes were wide open. Well, not necessarily. But when you come in.
See what he did there?
No.
What? See, that's harassment. That's racial harassment.
Right? By you.
Yes. Uh-huh. You laughed.
I just want that to be properly accredited in the transcript so that it is not attributed to us. So, Greg,
Hold on, Bean.
What?
Have you ever had to read back in court, in any kind of court proceedings, the words that you said? Have you ever had to do that?
No, I've had to.
They're so funny at the time, and they're so not funny when you have to read them back.
Did you read them out loud?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, Greg.
Yeah.
Greg, many times we have been in the conference room with a lawyer who said, Mr. Ryder, did you at that time respond to that email with, oh, yeah, well, you're a dick. And then you've got to try to, in context, explain, like, why you thought that was funny at the time.
Yeah. Or did you mean he was literally a dick? You're like, what are you talking about? What's happening here?
Hey, we use irony, Your Honor.
It doesn't read, though.
Nope.
Yeah, it doesn't read at all.
Nope. I worked on The Man Show for a while, and we wrote this sketch, and the woman who was the standards and practices woman was this smoking hot, she was like from India or something. And so we would purposefully write really nasty dialogue because she would call us and we put it on speakerphone and she'd have to read it back. And we'd be like, and then she said, pull down my panties. You can't say, massage my areola. And we'd be like, yeah!
You only wrote it so that she would have to read it to you.
Small victories.
That is brilliant, by the way. Speaking of all the writing that you have done, you've had, you're well known as a comedian, but you had a long career in Hollywood writing for The Man Show and Chelsea Handler and Ellen DeGeneres and stuff like that. Is there any traction on winning Daytime Emmy Awards? Does that mean anything in Hollywood, or is that just an asterisk?
I got four of them sitting on my mantle, and people come in and they go, oh, my God, you got Emmys. And they walk up to see them, and they go, daytime.
So no juice out of a daytime Emmy. Though.
It's a little bit like showing up to a party with a really hot chick, you know, and you got your arm around her, and you're kind of looking at everybody like, yeah. And then she starts talking. You're like, shh. Shh. Shut your mouth. Shut your goddamn mouth.
Got it. So, Greg. You had Judd Apatow on the radio show this week.
Yeah.
I want to ask you, because I'm fascinated with his one-man campaign against Bill Cosby at this point. I'm sure you talked about it on the show, right?
We did not.
What?
Well, he's got a new book out that I read, and I was so...
But that's his passion project, is bringing Cosby down.
I know. I'm a believer in Bill Cosby.
What?
I just...
Say it
again?
I need to back up a little bit. What?
I just think it's romantic, you know, the way he finds nice women. And okay, look, we all buy them a couple drinks, right?
Right.
I'm kidding. I don't know why it didn't come up.
I just am so surprised because, like, I read his Esquire piece this week, and it just seems like he's never, ever going to let it go. And I'm so fascinated with that because what – he can't hurt Bill Cosby. He can't stop people from going to see his concerts. And aside from that, Bill is completely unemployable. He doesn't have commercial endorsements. He doesn't have a TV show anymore.
He's still drawing crowds at shows.
Right, but there's nothing you can do about that.
Yeah, well, you know what? The guy serially raped women, and he's
right.
It's like, why is it that priests and Bill Cosby and certain people, it's the most heinous crime you can perpetrate, and it continues on in a cycle. Each of these human beings will then have some kind of a dysfunctional relationship that'll probably spill over into their kids, and, you know, and the guy should put a gun in his mouth and kill himself.
I agree.
Do us all a favor.
I don't disagree with anything Judd Apatow feels. I'm just trying to figure out what he honestly thinks he can accomplish
right.
by continuing to wave that flag.
I think it's because
it seems
futile. Cosby's doing it for his legacy at this point, or he was, and maybe still is. He had way too – he never could have spent all his money, and he was still out touring. He's the guy who's always at a commencement address. He's probably got wall – oh, he was?
BC. He was my commencement speaker.
That's sort of his profession is getting awards.
Because he's big into education. That's his cause.
Right.
That and rape.
That and telling black people how to behave.
Yeah, right. That too.
And so, you know, I think that anything anybody can do to destroy that legacy, even worse than it's been destroyed, is really important. Because until he puts a gun in his head and blows his head off, we have not done our jobs as comedians.
Okay. Well, that's legit then. So the pressure is on to just make Bill Cosby miserable. That's why he does it. What was it that you were so fascinated with about his book? Why did it delight you so?
Oh, it's just incredible because he started as a teenager. And, you know, he was going around. And it's essentially what we do for a living. You know, we bring in people that we're fascinated by, that we find entertaining. And we get the privilege of sitting down uninterrupted and getting inside their heads and asking anything we want. And he happens to be somebody who's got a pretty good head on his shoulders. So when he does it, it's completely fascinating. And he interviewed all the people that I would have wanted to talk to, you know, Albert Brooks. And
oh, my.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, it was really great. Did you read it?
No, it's not out yet, I don't think. I think it comes out this month.
Oh, whatever, I get him a little early.
That sounds awesome, though.
Yeah. Yeah, have you seen Jurassic Park yet? Oh, my God.
It's not out yet.
Me and my wife were watching it last night.
That's out yet.
Yeah.
Craig's got a time machine.
Yeah.
Pretty handy.
L. Ron Hubbard was over for dinner last
night.
Was he? Yeah.
Wow.
He's not dead.
Huh. Greg, Saturday night, 10:30, you'll be at the Comedy Store.
Yeah, this is kind of a special one because I'm at the Comedy Store a lot. But, you know, you do like a 15-minute set. But I'm going to do a brand new hour of material in the Belly Room, which is this cool little attic space that holds about 80 people upstairs. And I got a surprise guest opening for me. And then we're going to do an hour. And,
Bill Cosby?
Bill Cosby's going to open.
With a gun?
And then he likes to hang out at the bar afterwards. It's really weird. Most comics leave after their set.
Are you preparing to film a special or something? Is that what this hour is
about?
That's
the goal. You know, in this hour, I taped my last special about a year and a half ago. And then I've been really working hard on new material. And I think it's ready. I think I'm there. And I won't know until I do the entire hour. A lot of sexual harassment.
All right.
Yeah.
That's what we look to you for. GregFitzsimmons.com to buy tickets for this Saturday night. Tickets are only $15, by the way. Greg
That's
Fitzsimmons
ridiculous.
At the Comedy Store. More with our guests right after this on K-Rock. Our friend Greg Fitzsimmons in studio with us here on the Kevin Devine Show. Greg, is it okay if I call you our friend? Is that offensive to you? Or
I'm honored because, you know, let's be honest. The last time I was supposed to be on, I wasn't on.
Well, you slept in.
And you know. I really felt like it was very generous of you guys to not get mad. You even let me call in.
You're a human being. It happens.
Yeah.
Not a big deal.
Thank you.
Greg is in town at the Comedy Store this Saturday night with an hour of new material. Check it out. He goes on at 10:30. Tickets available just $15 through GregFitzsimmons.com. You know, we were speaking during the record there about how we're all, A, addicted to Amazon, but, B, the way these apps are coming out, it's fantastic because you never have to deal with another human ever to get anything done in your life anymore.
No, you can get somebody to do, like I was just reading that in New York, you can get somebody to meet you at your subway stop on your way home with your dry cleaning. Are you kidding me?
So they'll have it just waiting for you to just take home?
Here you go, sir. And how will we find each other? I don't know. I'll be the guy holding dry cleaning on 6th Avenue.
We did a story last week, Greg, about a new app that's in the beta phase right now in San Francisco where you can sign up to have somebody come into your home, gather up your trash, take it to the can outside, then take the can to the curb on your trash day, and then come back the next day and take your empty trash can back to the side of your house.
What could go wrong with that?
That's a service now that is being offered.
Right. That's my point, too. What could go wrong? Like, doesn't murder factor into this in some cases?
Exactly.
Like, if I'm the guy, first of all, the kind of person that's going to come into your house and need $5 bad enough to do all that is capable of a lot more. Mm-hmm. And the best, though, is if you take a taxi, don't start the small talk with your driver by going, "So, what do you think of this Uber?" Uber! This guy goes like this to me. He goes, "They have no air conditioning." I'm like, "Oh, that's the angle you're going with? That's how the cab drivers are going to take down Uber?" And he could see I wasn't buying it. So he goes, "And they rape people." I'm like, "Whoa! Way to bury the lead there, Punjab." I'd open with the rape angle. Because they're really like, you know, the Uber is like the hot young chick who's horny, who does it for the love of the sport, and comes in, and the taxis are like the middle-aged woman at the bar at noon who's smoking a Pall Mall and there's lipstick all over it. She's going, "Buy me a drink." You're like, "I don't need you anymore. This girl will come to my house."
It's a good point.
And she's Asian. What?
I'm not sure. Wait, huh? You said that out loud. You know that, right?
I think that was a positive. I think.
Allie no longer does her own grocery shopping. Did you hear that? She's got a service. She's using an app for that.
Mm-hmm. For how do you?
Instacart. It's amazing. They'll go to whatever grocery stores or Costco, Bristol Farm, whatever is in your neighborhood, get it, bring it to your house, high five you, smooch you, whatever. That didn't happen. The smooch. It could though.
You said that out loud as well. do you see that
Asian guy?
Do you see that delivery guy outside your window at any point? Does that worry you at all?
Mm.
Now it does.
Yeah,
but I'm saying, shouldn't that have been maybe thought one?
Did you notice him near your hairbrush, just grabbing a couple of locks?
Well, no, he brushed my hair, but he says the back is right. Uneven, and he brushed it.
That's sweet.
Well, no, it's the same as delivery, like a pizza guy. You're not worried about the pizza guy, are you?
Well, no, but it seems a little more personal. You giving him your, because you have to give him your credit card, don't you, and everything else?
Well, no, it's done all online, so it's done
so the
through,
app takes care of it, not
PayPal
the delivery guy.
Yeah. Does he just bring it to you at the door, or does he come into your kitchen?
That's an important question.
Yeah, good question.
That is a good question, and I have him bring it in because I don't. Yeah.
That's almost a date at this point, Allie.
No, it definitely was.
How you doing? Did you get the Cocoa Krispies?
I did.
Oh, fantastic. Well, you know, right now my hands are full. Do you mind just
reaching in your pocket?
Yes.
Is that your phone ringing?
That's my phone ringing.
Oh.
Oh, no, that's not my phone.
Okay.
But will you put it to your ear anyway?
Craig Fitzsimmons writes porn. I like it. It's a new bit.
You know, it's amazing. And then, of course, I'm married, so I and I've got divorced friends that are using the Tinder apps and all this, and it's amazing because it's a dream. It's just a dream, and it's like, but then I hear that it's not. Everybody makes you think like you get on the app and all of a sudden it's just, you're just going to have sex.
Yeah.
But then I find out no, there's more. There's always like an intermediary step. There's like the coffee date. There's the like, you know, feel your vibe out.
Yeah, it's the drive by.
It's the drive-by.
First, it's the drive-by.
Right. And that doesn't sound... How does that end well? The coffee date. You know, by the end of the date, you both have the breath of a homeless person, and you each need to take a dump. Nobody's getting laid after a coffee date.
Sounds romantic.
Yeah. You're wrestling for the bathroom key at that point. And so... But my friend uses Grindr, and Grindr, you
that
know...
That's serious.
Yeah, there's
to me,
no middleman. Well, there could be a middleman if you want that, but...
Yeah, the middleman is also having sex with you on
that's
the first.
That's a gay service.
Yeah,
right.
It's the gay service and basically uses GPS, and you can find another man. You know, this is L.A., usually within several feet, that will have sex with you. Because gay guys will have sex at the drop of a hat. Like literally, if you drop your hat, and you go to get it.
I don't think that's how it works.
No?
I don't think so.
It's not like the lady dropping her hanky in the 1800s?
I don't think so.
It's a good reference, though.
It is a brilliant.
It is a brilliant service, though, Grinder.
Yes, it is.
I mean, it really is. Yeah. When you think about it.
Right, and it's you know, and it really is, though. There is no middleman. I've talked to. There's a couple comedians that probably come on your show that have used it extensively, and it's often in a car. It's like my car is parked behind CVS. Mm-hmm. Passenger door is over on the right.
Like normal.
Right.
Why would you say that? Passenger door is on the right. I'm saying, all right.
I don't know. I was trying to do a comedy bit.
Oh, sorry.
Sometimes we use irony on the show.
Sorry, Greg. I'm a little out of it today. I apologize.
That's all right. You've got whatever Kevin has.
Right.
You now have Greg.
Yeah. Now, what is it? Were you near a bird?
I was not. I don't know that I was near a bird.
Yeah.
Something happened, though.
Last Monday night, I got crazy sick, and I've been sick ever since. And,
right.
And so then I came in today, and everybody's mad at me. I thought everybody'd be happy. Everybody's mad at me.
Now, my dream is always, like, I've got a stack of screener DVDs and books I haven't read, and I always fantasize that I'm going to get sick, and I'm going to be in bed for 5 days.
Yeah.
Were you able to read and watch movies? Oh, it was one of those.
No, it was terrible.
Oh.
There's no fun. I imagined being, like, thinking the exact same thing, like, that would be so
good. Love it.
What a great vacation that would be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're miserable.
Like, your fingernails hurt, everything.
Yeah, you were too sick to even watch TV, though, Kevin?
I watched some sporting events, but I was miserable and went to bed. I mean, it wasn't fun.
You watched soccer. You must have been really miserable.
How dare you?
Yeah.
Champions League final was on.
Wow. Oh, yeah, Barca, right?
Thank you.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Thank you, Greg.
See, Greg knows. He knows what's up, man.
Well, my son is a soccer fanatic, and we just...
You hate him?
We actually just went to Barcelona. He's a good kid, actually. Okay. We just went to Barcelona for Easter for 2 weeks.
Oh,
he's in this U.S. team. He's the captain of this U.S. team. And so we went over there. He's really good. And so they played teams from, like, you know, Australia and Greece and... the Ivory Coast. The Ivory Coast team is kind of infamous for sneaking older players onto their team. Like, this was 14 and under. These guys had beards, and their kids were cheering for them on the side. And they're just like, they were winning games like 26-0. And so I was told that they try to pull this in England, and because there's like Junior World Cup stuff, and they do bone density tests on the Ivory Coast team.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is serious age verification, man. That goes well beyond checking your ID.
Right, right.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so it was wild. You know, it was really cool seeing him play at that level. And we were in Spain for a couple weeks. And
how'd you like Barcelona?
Oh, my God, what a city.
Really?
It's just, you know, it's an old, ancient city that's, you know, thousands of years old. And they've just got these stone walls, and yet it's like totally young and vibrant, and everybody's on Vespas, and there's little cafes where you get cortadas every 5 minutes. You're just jacked up on coffee, and everyone's beautiful. It's amazing. But when you see an American, you don't want to see an American. You treat them like a bad one night stand that you see like the next afternoon.
You're ruining this for me.
That's what
you say to them?
Right, right.
You can spot them right away.
Oh, my God. You can hear them before you see them. And they just, you know, can I have a quesadilla? And it's like, that's Mexican food. And so, you go around, and I did a stand-up comedy show over there. And it was mostly like Americans that were living over there, and Brits and Irish and
English speakers
in general. Doors on the right, doors on the left. And yeah, it was great.
That's fun. That's awesome. Hey, we're out of time, Greg. I apologize. I hate to say that to you, but we are. Thank you for coming, and good to see you. Thank you for waking up on time. Thank you for driving down here, being with us in studio. It's nice to see you.
It is a pleasure. It's good to see you guys. Thanks.
And the Comedy Store this weekend sounds like fun. If you want to see Greg on stage, he goes on at 10:30 this Saturday night. Tickets are just $15. It is 21 and over. Please at gregfitzsimmons.com to buy your tickets. Have fun, sir. We'll see you again soon.
Thanks. See ya.
Imagine Dragons of Monsters and Men, Florence and the Machine, and Mumford and Sons all coming to town in the weeks to come. You can win tickets to each of those shows on K-Rock all week long. We have another chance for you to win coming up, and you can get all the details at KRock.com.
Raphael, set?
That's that tweet.
Bean!
I
kind of like the tone in which we are starting this exploration of my Twitter feed.
You are magic. It's it's incomprehensible to me. You know, I don't know if I told you, Kevin, but I've since unblocked Bean. I follow Bean now.
Mm-hmm. What?
Yeah, so I can get the magic real time.
Why?
Because it dawned on me that, although I love it when we cluster F his tweets like this, that when you get it parsed out little by little, I can keep a nice base line of hatred going all the time. I don't have to mainline it. I can be a functional beanaholic. You know what I mean?
I feel like I get enough Bean without his Twitter feed.
No, I don't know. I'm glad I changed. All right. Because this stuff is spectacular.
Well, what is it you're complaining about? Because I think it's a feed that makes most people happy.
Well said. I always say this. I always say everybody tries to be relevant. Everybody tries to be funny. And we fail sometimes.
Bean is neither.
Except for Bean. He tries neither. And that's why we started
that tweet.
Bean!
Herman Zaft, the font designer behind Palatino and Zap Dingbats, has died at 96. This is all we're talking about in my font chat rooms.
It's a big day.
That's right. Tweet.
Wait.
Huge loss to the industry, Ralph.
Wait, when did that happen,
it's
Ralph?
Not.
When did that happen, Ralph?
That's today's tweet. That's a tweet from today.
Because we recorded being off the air talking about that we're going to use for another time.
How dare you, by the way?
So you were talking about it and tweeting about it at the same time?
I wanted to make sure the word came down that Mr. Zapf had passed away.
He's a terrorist on many fronts.
Ralph, ask Bean where he got that information from.
Bean, where'd you get that information from?
You know, I bookmarked deathbeeper.com.
Deathbeeper.com.
Do good work.
Thanks for that tweet.
Bean!
I don't know if you saw the Belmont Steaks chunk Bean was getting.
Nope.
Do they still eat the losing horses? Hashtag Belmont Steaks.
Come on, that's a legitimate question.
How do you spell steaks?
Not the way you would hope.
Not the funny one. Not the funny way.
What?
If there was a chance to make anything funny in that tweet, he missed it by spelling steaks STAKES the way the race is spelt.
But Bean, anybody interested in that topic would have not liked that tweet.
You think?
Well, yeah, I think.
If horses had thought of it first, do you think they would be riding us instead? Hashtag Belmont Stakes.
That's Bean being relevant.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thanks for that tweet.
Bean!
First of all, how would that work? If the horse got on top of us and rode us.
That's why it's funny, is because it's silly and clearly it's not going to work.
No.
That's what makes it funny.
No, you can't just write dumb stuff and go, but it's just funny. That's why it's funny, because it makes no goddamn sense. So it's got to be funny, right?
I stand by it.
Sometimes it's just poop. Sometimes poop is just poop.
Just seems silly watching on Saturday, seeing all those people riding horses. I just started thinking about what if it was the other way around. That's all.
So, fellow IHOP on Tuesdays enthusiasts, what do we think of the new logo?
That was very disappointing.
That tweet.
Bean.
Last Tuesday to go in there.
Tweet.
Bean.
See that new logo everywhere.
That tweet.
Bean.
That new logo was disturbing to you?
It was.
That tweet.
Bean.
It's on the menus and it was on the window out front and it felt like I was at a different restaurant.
Wait,
I didn't
are you
like
talking
it.
About the logo for IHOP?
Yes, they changed it for the first time in like 40 years. It's very upsetting. Look, if you went to McDonald's today and they no longer had the golden arches,
Bean,
you would be
to
like,
me.
Hey,
listen to me closely.
They still serve burgers there at McDonald's,
to me.
Right?
It would not destroy my life. I would be okay.
Really?
I'd go, huh. That would be it.
Did they run out of pancakes at IHOP?
No, that's
the only thing that goddamn matters.
I didn't like it.
Thanks for that
tweet.
Bean!
We would all feel better about it if we stopped calling it snoring and started calling it cute breathing.
Oh, she Bean, you shut up.
Thanks for that,
Allie.
Bean!
Snoring is just so mean. Have you had that experience with your spouse and they go, oh,
Bean,
you're snoring last night?
We don't need further clarification. We all get it.
If you called it cute breathing, it wouldn't seem
tweet.
So quite so offensive.
Where there's flooding down in Texas, all the telephone lines are down. I've been trying to call my baby. Lord, can't get a single sound.
Who's what lyrics?
It's a lyric from a song.
It was a two-part tweet because of the terrible floods in Texas last weekend, and it just made me remember the great Stevie Ray Vaughan song. That's all. So I posted a link to that as well. I just thought it seemed relevant.
Now, if you don't binge watch all of Bean's tweets, you don't get them now. Now he's doing tweets in parts where if you don't read one of them, you don't understand the goddamn other one.
They were 30 seconds apart.
What are you demanding of people to get crap?
30 seconds apart.
How much are you asking of people in order to get some crap?
It was a two-parter.
Not even good stuff.
It was legitimate. It is a great
tweet. Bean! Remember that time Arnold Schwarzenegger was your governor? Yeah?
Is that it?
That's it. Wait, there was a follow-up, right?
Hashtag.
Was this a four-parter? Was this a mini-series part of your tweets? Was this a feature IMAX tweet?
Every once in a while, you just remember that he really was the governor of California. It's just crazy that happened. That was a thing that was real, that we lived through in the world.
How is that a tweet?
Doesn't it surprise you to realize that, though, sometimes? Why is my voice getting so high?
Thanks for that tweet. Bean!
Who's surprised by history facts?
I am.
History that you lived through. This is not...
Remember that time the world went to war in the 40s? That was something.
But you see him in the Terminator 4, or whatever the next five, whatever the next movie is, and you go, my God, look at that guy in the Terminator movies. He used to be the governor of California. It's still a shock to me.
It's still a shock to you.
It is. We're out of time.
You're out of time.
Thanks for that.
I'm out of patience.
And it is 8:53.
Ralph Garman seems to have recovered from Thanks for That Tweet, Bean, and he's in here with the Showbiz Beat on a Monday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
I don't know. I still feel like
a little... Can't believe you're following him, man.
Solar plexus. No, it really, it's better to get it...
I don't feel that way.
No, it's almost like you get inoculated. You know, when they give you a vaccine, they give you just a little bit of the virus itself.
Yeah. Like the flu shot.
So that your body can build up antibodies
to it. But do you take 10 flu shots a day?
But when we were doing Thanks for That Tweet, Bean, it was such a dose. It was like getting the flu. It knocked me out for a week, and I had bed rest and fluids and soup and everything.
Right.
But if I just get a little Bean tweet every day, then it builds up my immunity to it, and I'm not nearly as affected.
Interesting.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Trust me, it works.
Nope.
You need to.
I have enough bean in my life.
You need a little more bean in
I
you.
Feel like you I have enough.
Yeah.
You got to get your body used to it, and you have to be able to develop your immunity.
I feel like I've had more bean in my life than anyone except for his wife. I feel like I'm
number two. Probably true.
And I don't need more.
You probably had more sex with Bean than he has with his wife.
That's probably true. That's what I'm guessing.
What? Let's talk show business news, shall we? Chet Hanks, Tom Hanks' son, is not doing well. He famously, last November, publicly thanked Narcotics Anonymous and AA for helping him get his life together. What part of Anonymous he doesn't understand about those organizations, I'm not sure.
Now, let me tell you who was at the meetings when I went.
But he has fallen off the wagon, apparently, in a big way. The UK's Mirror newspaper says he was at a London club, became irritated that no one inside knew who he was.
Oh, no.
Started demanding drugs and alcohol inside the club, got really wrecked, and proceeded to go out in the parking lot where he started to projectile vomit outside the hotel. Guests were complaining about the noise from him outside and then in his room, and when they went into his room, it was completely trashed and glass was everywhere.
Of course it was.
So he's a rock star, is what he is.
And by the way, his fame is only that his father is famous and accomplished, right?
Not true. He's also an artist. He's a hip-hop artist.
Okay.
And a rapper.
Did he call anyone the N-word that night?
I don't know if he did. But if he did, he meant it with all love.
Yeah, right.
Last week we talked...
I feel like I'm missing a story.
We talked to Chet Hanks last week,
Kevin.
He's defending his right to use the N-word because he says he's part of the hip-hop community, and he means it with all love, and he's taking the word back. He's taking the word back for the culture.
I see. How's that going for him?
For the black hip-hop culture. And some black people are saying, oh, hell no! In fact, most people are saying that.
Wow.
But we talked to him, and he did some raps for us. It was very entertaining.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah. If we had some of those, we could play them for you. But we didn't. I didn't see this coming. Well, maybe next hour we can play some of those for you.
And that is right.
Is that him?
No.
Okay.
I'm confused. You're confused. Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. We do it every Monday morning. We take a look at I Spy. Nope. Spy. $30 million.
made it number one this weekend in its debut.
That ain't right. And that ain't right.
What the? Why do you have that?
I'd like to know what it... What it...
All right, just...
What did he do?
I spit my gum out. trying to make sure I could get people sick every way possible.
San Andreas, $26.4 million. Insidious Chapter 3, its debut, $23 million. Entourage. Do you put it back in your mouth?
Yes! That's where? Laughing at.
5 second rule.
No, it launched out of his mouth, and then he's like, well, I need that in my mouth.
I better get gum back in my mouth. I don't want to be... I don't want to be... Be able to be understood on radio. I better chew gum.
It didn't occur to me to not put it back in my mouth. I didn't think, hey, is this a good idea?
They teach you that in broadcasting school?
No,
you should chew gum when you're on the microphone?
Rule one is not to, I believe.
Entourage in its debut, $10.4 million. Mad Max Fury Road.
And that ain't right.
Pitch Perfect 2, Tomorrowland, Avengers, Aloha, Poltergeist. Rounds out your top 10 movies at the box office. You know what opens up this weekend, don't you?
Is it Jurassic World?
Jurassic World. Man, I'm looking forward to that. Dwayne The Rock Johnson, as we talked about, is in San Andreas, number 2 movie at the box office this weekend. One of the nicest guys in Hollywood, apparently.
He sure is. He sure seems to be. Anyway.
He was at the Cheesecake Factory in Beverly Hills, and he accidentally stepped on a waiter's foot. Now, I'm not great at these kind of guessing games, but I think Dwayne Johnson has to weigh about 800 pounds, right? Somewhere in the neighborhood of 800 pounds?
800 to 1,000. I think you're in the ballpark.
Probably,
yeah.
About 12 feet tall?
Sure. Yeah.
So you can imagine it really hurt the waiter's foot. So not only did Dwayne immediately apologize, but he signed a bunch of autographs for the guy, and he discovered that the guy had to go home from work. He hurt his foot that bad. So he left him $200 in cash for his lost hours, and then left his number with the management saying if he has any medical bills, if there's anything needs to be taken care of with that foot, please let me pay for everything. So went out of his way to really make it up to this guy, which I thought was cool.
First class.
Very much so. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Maria Menounos. She is 37 years old today. Jerry Stiller. A very talented and funny man. Half of the comedy team of Stiller and Mira. He is 88 years old today. Keenan Ivory Wayans is 57. Juliana Margulies, 49 years old. And Kanye West is 38.
Because, baby, I'm awesome.
And he's awesome.
Awesome.
He's also awesome.
I'm also awesome.
He is also awesome.
Also.
Also, he is awesome.
I'm also awesome.
He is awesome.
Y'all know.
Y'all know. Y'all know he's awesome.
You know, for me to say I wasn't a genius, I would just be lying to you and to myself.
Let's keep it real. Yo, in the words of Chet Hayes, keep it real, my nice fella. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Do we need to worry about Beer Mug? Is he going down? I mean, should he be having someone walk to his car with him when he leaves the building? What's happening?
I am concerned. I think this beef between Costa Mesa Nissan and Surf City Nissan has just gone on too far. Gone on too long. We need to step in and try to... He broker some sort of peace accord with
Mugs. How do you get caught in the middle of this gang war, man?
Oh, it's rough. You know, we're slanging Versus, Sentras, Muranos, and it's getting gang warish.
You just wore the wrong colors one day, but you got dragged into it.
Yeah, I thought you'd go back. I don't understand. I understand your thugling, Mug.
All right, let's set it up.
Trying to act
gang warish.
For folks who haven't heard, what's going on is that Beer Mug has been doing commercials for a very fine sponsor of the Kevin Beach Show, who we enjoy very much.
We
by
love
the Costa Mesa
Nissan.
I question their choice to use Mugs as their spokesperson.
How dare
but,
you.
But basically, as you'll hear in this tiny clip from a recent ad, basically there's somebody else who wants to hone in on some of that Costa Mesa Nissan action.
Hey guys, it's Beer Mug again for Costa Mesa Nissan! I can't wait to tell you!
Well, you better learn to wait, because I'm taking over this commercial for Surf City Nissan.
Damn it, Dival! How the hell did you bust in on my Costa Mesa Nissan commercial?
I'm ready to throw the first punch in this fight for my boys over at Surf City Nissan.
It makes me sick to watch these two fine establishments
sending their agents of death against each other. You got Beer Mug from Costa Mesa Nissan. You got Surf City Nissan, another great with this evil Dival character.
Dival? Dival?
Dival? I don't know, but if you move the letters around, Devil spells Devil.
Oh.
So I think actually that doesn't work, but he is some satanic sort of enemy of Beer Mugs, and they're going back and forth, and the dealerships are involved. And frankly, I'm worried for everyone's safety.
Mugs, I'm sorry, I haven't been paying much attention to this. How long has this been going on?
Oh, like a month now.
Oh, well, it started just him doing his commercials, and then I guess Dival was doing his commercials, but now they're starting to break into each other's commercials.
Oh,
it's escalating. That's my fear. It's just getting worse and worse.
Hey, we saw what happened with Tupac and Biggie. I mean, you got to be very careful to not let this thing get out of hand.
When are we going to stop the madness? When are we going to break the cycle of violence?
Well, you tell us, Ralph. What do you think? I know you've spent some time on this.
I don't know.
What do you know?
Have you heard the new commercial?
I thought that was the new commercial. Another one after that?
No, one's breaking today, apparently, we're going to play. And I'm just, I don't know, I'm just worried.
Hey, it's Beer Mug here, and I'm here to talk about Costa Mesa Nissan. Ow! What the heck? Dival, did you shoot me?
That's right, Beer Box.
What's a beer box? Doesn't matter, because everyone knows Surf City Nissan is the best. Oh, yeah? Well, I think Costa Mesa Nissan's the best. So just take this. That's right, Donkey Dival. How do you like that?
You cut my arm off!
It's war between Costa Mesa Nissan
and Surf City Nissan.
Costa Mesa Nissan is slashing prices like I slashed your arm off.
Oh, yeah, beer bagel?
Where Surf City Nissan has exploding deals like this hand grenade. Ow! My testicles!
Yeah, I always knew you had no balls.
This is war, Dival.
Bring it on, beer slug.
What? Costa Mesa.
That sounds like that ends pretty
good.
That
is serious. Stop the violence, people.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:33.
And then we heard Brian Wilson doing Rodney on the Rock and went to the premiere of his movie.
Oh, you did?
Love and Mercy. It was held at the Samuel Goldwyn Theater.
Goldwyn.
On Tuesday.
Samuel Goldwyn.
Right.
And it was a great turnout. Got to do the red carpet. Kevin Bacon.
What?
Jennifer Bales was there. John Cusack.
John Cusack?
Elizabeth Banks. Randy Newman, of all people.
Of all people.
And Paul Dano. Brooke Newton. Blondie Chapman.
Wait a minute.
And, of course, all the different members of the people that played the Beach Boys in the movie. It was
all the different members
party,
of the people?
A lot of food.
Their members were there?
It was just amazing.
Oh, there was food?
And it's Love and Mercy. It's now playing all around town.
Is Brooke Newton there?
At AMC and Regent Theaters.
Regent
we had a Q&A this afternoon and one yesterday.
Uh-huh. Are you doing a Q&A?
Asked questions to Brian and his wife, Melinda, who's a featured in the movie. Elizabeth Banks plays Melinda Wilson.
Right.
And then, of course, Brian is playing at the Greek coming up on his birthday on June 20th. It's his birthday the 20th.
All right. Thank you, Rodney. Appreciate that update. That sounds like you had a good time. Ralph is here now.
Him meeting Brooke Newton on the red carpet.
He does bring it alive, man. I was sad that I wasn't there, but now I feel like I was there.
Jennifer Bales was there, and John Cruzak,
all
the
people.
Stars.
Yep. All the classics whose names he doesn't know.
What's he doing there?
Because he's
friends with Wilson? Is that how it is?
Yeah, I imagine, yeah.
He used to play in a sandbox with Wilson, so that's why he got invited?
Pretty much. Yeah. He probably plays more Beach Boys music on the radio than anyone else in Los Angeles in 2015, I bet.
You think?
I bet he does.
I bet not.
Because that music is too old for like K-Earth now, but Rodney is keeping it alive on his show. Yes.
That's something. Well, while we're talking about movies, let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Spy. In its debut, $30 million this weekend. Made it number one. San Andreas was $26.4 million. Then Insidious Chapter 3 debuted at $23 million. Entourage, only $10.4 million in its debut. Good enough to make it number four.
Lloyd!
Mad Max Fury Road was fifth, and Pitch Perfect 2, Tomorrowland, Age of Ultron, the Avengers movie, Aloha, and Poltergeist rounding out your top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Jackie Chan, while we're talking about movies, is reportedly in talks to star in another action movie. He is 61 years old.
Wow.
It's going to be a film called The Foreigner, and it is about a restaurant owner in London's Chinatown who has to track down a group of Irish terrorists responsible for the death of his daughter. So you get a bunch of Irish brogues and Jackie's broken English. You won't be able to say a goddamn word in this movie, but I bet you it'll be a lot of...
I feel like he's not made very many movies in recent years, Ralph.
Well,
seems like he slowed down quite a bit, at least for the English language.
IMDb says he's got a bunch in the works. Rush Hour 4.
All right.
Reportedly is still forthcoming. Kung Fu Panda 3. He's going to be one of the voices of that.
Yes.
And we can all look forward to a Karate Kid 2 with Jaden Smith. So we got that going for us.
All right. Did you say look forward to?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Caitlyn Jenner may judge the Miss USA pageant. Folks at that pageant apparently have reached out to Caitlyn and have offered her a seat on the panel of judges for the July 12th pageant. Makes sense because the Miss USA pageant is the only major pageant that accepts transgender contestants.
Have they ever had one?
I believe they have. If I'm not mistaken.
All right. Allie, you would know. You're a girl. Have they ever had a transgender contestant?
What does that mean?
I think Miss Universe has, so she came from somewhere? Thank you.
Good
Thank
logic.
You.
Good check there.
Good logic.
She does live in the universe.
Yep. Well, I just heard Ralph say that the Miss America pageant is the only pageant that allows transgender people in it. So, are you sure Miss Universe has?
No. No, I'm not.
No, right. She is not. Congratulations to America Ferrara, star of Ugly Betty. She won the Triple Crown this weekend at Belmont Stakes. So
American Pharoah.
It's amazing that a woman can run as fast as one of those thoroughbred racehorses, but apparently America Ferrara is very fast.
American Pharoah was the name of the horse, very similar name.
I guess
it's
those traveling
different
pants she wears that makes her run so fast. That's what I'm guessing. That's the only possible answer I can come up with.
That's logical.
Congratulations. And you know how I love the collectibles, right? I'm a big collectibles geek.
Sure.
I felt a certain amount of envy, jealousy, if you will, when Mohammed Abdullah Jamali, who's just 29 years old, had enough cash, enough wherewithal, to buy a original autographed General Lee from the Dukes of Hazzard TV show.
Mm.
1969 Dodge Charger, all souped up, autographed by both Bo and Luke Duke, Tom Wopat, and
John Schneider.
John Schneider, the other guy. I was green with envy, if you will, as he paid his $60,000 and drove off with his General Lee. That was until he went down the I-64 there in Virginia where he got it at auction and proceeded to total it.
That's the best thing I've ever heard.
That's the worst thing I've ever heard.
Right, same.
No word on whether the car will be repairable or not.
Oh, my God.
So that happened.
Oh, snap!
Dude, that is...
I don't feel so bad now.
That is awful.
That's bad.
Ralph said laughing.
So many ways.
I would love to do a phone-in topic on the most valuable thing you ever had
for the shortest amount of time
until you destroyed it. Because you know that there are people who have bought elaborate crystal sets or whatever and dropped them down an elevator shaft. I don't know why.
Time out. What happened to that guy again?
He bought a very expensive set of
crystal,
Ralph.
Right? Because you know how popular the crystal sets are these days. Everybody's dying to put crystal
and what
on their
to
table.
Him?
And then what happened with the crystal?
He dropped it down an elevator shaft and shattered it all.
That happens so often.
You know, sometimes you're carrying your crystal
by the open elevator.
And then you go by those open elevator shafts where they're doing those repairs, and somehow I don't know what happens. I guess you trip on the corsage worn by the floor walker.
What just happened
at the department store? But then you drop it down the elevator shaft.
Just as one example of a type of item that could be broken in a particular way. But
in the 1940s,
I'm saying we can open it up to our listeners for that phone topic, like your friend with the General Lee. I think we get some good stories.
Not my friend, just a guy in a
well, you know what I mean.
Just a reminder.
Maybe the neighborhood he lived in was a bit wee dodgy. Do you ever think about that?
I did not think about that.
I say, Reginald, did you drop your crystal down that elevator shaft?
I don't know why that was the example that sprung
because
to
you're
mind.
Solidly stuck in the 1940s. Because
the last time you left your house, LBJ was deciding whether to run again.
But wait, elevators are still a thing. People still fall and stuff in elevators, right?
What's happening right now?
I'm so happy I came back. It's got Ryder syndrome. See, I told you it was contagious.
It is contagious.
Today's celebrity birthday.
My lips are starting to grow now. Swell up.
My lips are starting to grow now. I got grow lips.
That ain't right. Hear more about the elevator shaft.
I knew anyone who was buying crystal. My grandmother had crystal. I know.
Was just thinking of something breakable.
Why don't you think of something in the last 100 years?
Crystal is still a thing.
Oh, how about an eye watch?
Okay, all right, better.
You think?
And a drain.
Better than a set of crystal?
A toilet, maybe. Maybe they drop in the toilet.
What if you just buy a new pickle barrel? That you need to use for the general store, and you're rolling it along, and then stagecoach just comes along and runs over it. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jerry Stiller's 88 years old today. Keenan Ivory Wayans is 57. Juliana Margulies turns 49. Maria Menounos is 37 years old. And Kanye West is 38 years old today.
Because, baby, I'm awesome.
And he's also awesome.
Also.
Also awesome.
Also awesome.
I'm also awesome. Also.
Also.
I'm also awesome.
Yes, you're also awesome.
Y'all know.
We all know. We all know.
I'm right when there. You're the absolute best, you get hated on the most.
That's the truth. Tell us about it. We here at the Kevin and Bean Show know your pain, Kanye. Hey, you guys all right over there? Man, deaf people fight.
You guys glad I came back?
Nope.
Yeah.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow
I'm going to go protect my crystal. Bye.
Tomorrow morning on all new Kevin and Bean Show.
Put it in the back of my buckboard.
We have been the creator of the briefcase, Ralph. The briefcase.
Oh, the briefcase. It's, or the, as it's known in some circles, the poor fights.
We have that guy on tomorrow morning. We also have Harvey Levin from TMZ. We have an update on the new Apple Music streaming service.
Yes, being announced this morning. It's expected to revolutionize the industry, perhaps save the record business.
Wow, that's saying something.
And it also is. A new Bachelorette report.
Yeah, boy.
Tomorrow morning.